about.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Perhaps one of the most interesting words in the English language today is the word out of all of the English words that begin with the letter F, is the only word that is referred to as the F word. It's the one magical word. Just by its sound can describe pain, pleasure, hate, and love. With all of these multi-purpose applications, how can anyone be offended when you use the word? We say, use this unique, flexible word more often in your daily speech. It will identify the quality of your character immediately. Say it loudly and proudly. You.
Oh, you can't say the actual word, Kevin.
That's what the guy just told me to say.
But the guy was bleeped. You can't say the actual real world over radio or tele. Come on.
You're telling me we can't say that word now.
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
And
that hasn't
changed.
I do not want to
live in this America.
That's not new, by the way. That's been the rules forever. Come on with that.
Well, I thought the guy
first word out of your mouth.
I'm saying the guy told me to say it. I followed directions, Bean.
Ladies and gentlemen, the returning conquering hero of nationwide television, Kevin Ryder. Come on, let's hear it for Anarchy Afterwards. Kevin Ryder making his live network TV debut last night. I know we don't have time to talk about it here because we're dedicating some time to it in about 45 minutes or so, playing some highlights and stuff. But in general, how do you feel it went?
In general, I would say for me and my skill set, realistically, mm-hmm. really well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, it went really well. You should be very proud of yourself.
I made a lot of little mistakes. I didn't know which camera to look at. I was confused a lot. But considering it was the first time I did it,
yeah.
and I'm not good at it,
yeah.
I thought it went pretty well.
It went great.
I did not look at Twitter last night, though.
Oh, you'll be very pleased when you look at Twitter.
Because I had a good time, and I like hanging out with those people. And right. I got to take my picture with that table, and it was awesome being there. And I didn't want to go home and find out that it was terrible, so I didn't look.
It wasn't terrible, and you're going to be very, very pleased. The only thing I'll tell you is that people were – they were A, impressed, and B, because of that, they were a little disappointed. I mean, people tuned in for a train wreck. I mean, that's what they wanted was a train wreck.
I'd disappoint either way.
So you did. You kind of let people down. But you'll look at the Twitter this morning, right, and you'll be happy.
Yeah. I did call it Sins of Anarchy. I did say that.
I did hear that, yeah. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. But first, I want to start with this story before we get into today's all-new Kevin and Bean show. Kevin, you love Brazil. They're your people, right?
Oh, my God, do I love Brazil.
How attractive are the people in Brazil?
They're all nines.
It's weird because they just opened, this week, their first ever nude beach, which was a surprise to me because I think of it as a place that where people are fairly free with nudity. And that's because of the things that I've seen with, the festivals and whatnot down there. But you can't be topless. You haven't been able to legally be topless in Brazil on a beach until this week.
That's not true. I mean, it's not true in practice.
You saw people topless on the beach?
Yeah, I thought topless was fine. And there were people that were and no one cared. Except
well, there's been a big movement in the last year or so because there was a case that got a lot of attention. A Brazilian actress named Cristina Flores, who was taking part in a beach photo shoot last year, police showed up and threatened to arrest her if she didn't put her top on. And people said, "Look, this is ridiculous. This puritanical attitude in Brazil. You see naked women all over the place during the carnival. We do it on magazine covers. They don't restrict it there. We ought to be allowed to be topless on the beach if we want to." So these people started organizing topless protests, and the mayor has finally agreed to allow there to be a topless beach. So this is your next vacation spot. This is Abraco Beach. It's about an hour's drive from the city center. And apparently it's the new thing. So far, it's hard to tell what the reaction is going to be, but the beach is apparently a beautiful beach, not as crowded or as noisy as any of the other major beaches, but that may change now that they're allowing toplessness there. But it seems like a big step forward for your people.
I'd like that to become a thing.
Topless beaches, yeah.
Topless beaches and topless protests, I think, need to both be a thing here.
Well, this is, if I said it was a topless beach, brother, this is a nude beach.
Nude beach,
so,
you did say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. this is even beyond topless. This is nude. Now, and my question to you is, would you ever go to one and be nude?
No. No, I would not.
So you're in it for the voyeurism of it. Not in it for the experience of being yourself on nude on a beach, but to look at other people nude on a beach.
I like boobs, if that's what you're asking. But no, I would not.
I don't think
and
I would.
And by the way, nobody needs to see me.
And I don't think I would either.
Nobody
but I will
needs to see most guys.
Right, but I will tell you this, though. Why is it that so many of us are so hung up on – because if anybody looked, they would look for 1 second and never look again because there's nothing there to see. So if it would feel good and be fun, why wouldn't we do it? We don't know any of those people.
Yeah.
What's the downside in going out there and just letting your freak flag fly? Fly.
They look for 1 second. They go, ha! And then they move on.
But you don't know any of those people, though, and they don't care about you, and they're not thinking about you, and they're not there to see you.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird that – and I'm the same way, by the way. I'm completely the same way. I would be mortified by that. But I wonder what it is that makes us so afraid for something like that, because it probably feels good. It's probably fun.
I'd do it.
Would you, Bugs?
Hell yeah. They changed the law, though.
They would shut down the beach, Bugs.
That's not cool.
So, anyway, there's your new vacation spot maybe for you, Muggs, then, is Abrico Beach in Rio de Janeiro. So, and by the way, a lot of excuses to, you know, they just had the World Cup there, and the 2016 Summer Olympics are going to be there, too. So there's a lot of people maybe thinking about going down to Brazil, so now they know.
I feel like my people miss me. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
And now, Kevin Ryder.
Adam Carolla will be here with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
We're going to talk to Brooke Shields.
How about that?
It's her book, right?
Yes. She's got a new book out.
There was a little girl. Sean White will be in studio talking about the Aaron Style Festival. We had him on when? Just before the on sale, I think?
Yep. About a month ago, probably.
About a month ago. Petros Papadakis will be here talking college football. USC UCLA is happening this weekend. There's a new app where you can have your weed delivered to your home. You listening?
Woo!
Weed delivered to your home. Very
sure.
Excited about that. And as being,
by the way, many people have had a weed guy for years.
Yeah, true. But this is an actual app.
Okay.
There's an app for that.
Now you don't even have to make a phone call.
Right. And also, we have tickets for the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
Yeah. I think I'm going to play that every break today. I like that so much.
That's right. Here he is.
It was worth doing the Anarchy Afterward last night just to have the big voice guy do your name, Kevin.
Yeah, but then I felt like such a little girl when I started talking. Because that guy's
Hi,
voice.
Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Phil, you're amazing. How do you do that? What do you do with the acting? How do you feel when that's happening? What are you doing?
Well, we're going to break down the tape in about 30 minutes here on K-Rock.
Jimmy, how do you feel when you do that? What do you do that? It's amazing. How do you do it?
Jimmy Glick?
Kevin did think a lot of things were amazing. That's
amazing
actually true.
Amazing what you did. That was amazing. How do you feel when you do it?
Speaking of amazing things, we're fast approaching night number one of the 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas with Rise Against and System of a Down and Bush and Fall Out Boy, Incubus, so much more. We're looking for contestants right now. If you want to win your way in bright and early this morning, give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. It is not an easy game from what I remember, you guys.
Would you say it's a hard game?
It's difficult. Yeah, I would say it's a difficult game. Mm. Absolutely. So if you want to play, you can
just
call
right now. Is it
the
most difficult game?
It is among the hardest games I know of, yes.
Oh, okay.
Hmm. It's one of the top two, I'd say.
Hmm. In the whole world.
Now, Kevin Ryder. And now, Kevin Ryder.
Be that guy.
Hi, everybody. Hey, you're amazing, Chris Sutter. How do you feel when you read that stuff? What are you feeling?
Sitting on the therapy couch last night with Kevin.
He did get a little Dr. Phil on Jimmy Smits at one point.
I love that episode so much.
Speaking of Sons of Anarchy, nice work, Kevin.
What?
Now you've got us all in trouble. The Parents Television Council is upset with you and your Sons of Anarchy. Last week's episode, there was a 3-minute sequence of several characters just boning, just boning.
Yeah, it was anarchy porn for about, for about 3 minutes.
Explicit sex. And shockingly, the Parents Television Council is not happy.
Where's the outrage there?
Well, there's plenty of it, Beer Mug. In Touch magazine reports that the president of the PTC released a statement of complaint this week, and here's partially what it reads. It's official. In order to watch cable news, ESPN, Disney, or the History Channel, every family in America must now also pay for pornography on FX. If FX wants to be like HBO and air this kind of explicit content, then they should also become a premium network. Families should not be forced to underwrite pornography.
And there's no option just to not watch that show, Ralph?
Or? No, Bean, there isn't. If it's on,
I misunderstood.
You have to watch it, and your children have to watch it, and they have to watch porn and Charlie Hunnam's ass for 3 minutes.
I didn't realize that those were the rules.
Yeah. So
as I wonder what they're what most upset them about that montage. I wonder if it was the fact that there was
probably butt,
butt, naked butt.
Because there were a couple of you know, man and man scenes in it, and there was one girl with a vibrator under the covers scene.
That was maybe funny, it was just the lonely girl.
Yes, with a vibrator. I just wonder if it was in totality, if it's just like if it just went on and on and on for them. Maybe it was just too much.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
Yeah, a lot of butt. I'm guessing butt. Mostly the butt.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
That was amazing how you put all those butts together. What do you feel when you do that? Bill Cosby, another day. Another rape victim.
Oh, no.
Another woman has come forward accusing Bill Cosby of rape. And her name, you may remember, is Janice Dickinson.
Isn't she the world's first supermodel?
If you ask her, she will tell you she's the world's first supermodel. She revealed to Entertainment Tonight that she met Bill Cosby back in 1982. He offered to help her with a job and her singing career. After his show and dinner, Janice claims he came up to her room, gave her some red wine and a pill, which she took. And the next thing she remembers, she woke up the next morning without her clothes on. The last thing she says she remembers was him getting on top of me in a patchwork robe. They never spoke about the incident, and she's coming forward now because she believes it's the right thing to do and a true story.
Look, not to make light of this situation at all, but she went on Entertainment Tonight. Really, that's where you go for that story? Entertainment Tonight? Not the news or 60 Minutes or something more serious.
That is the news, by the way. Just
yeah,
so
it is.
That
is.
It is a it's a media outlet. It's
Entertainment Tonight has been around for 30 years. It's as legitimate as anything else, especially when it comes to
they play
entertainment
like,
news.
I don't know if
they put a
I don't think they did under this story. I mean, people say that about TMZ, too. And who's more reputable than TMZ as a news organization?
Yeah. It doesn't have to be just CNN anymore.
Way to blame the victim, though, Kevin.
Yeah, nice work. No wonder they like you over there, Sons of Anarchy.
Not my intention.
Like one of those people with your guns and your rape. Netflix, by the way, has announced it's postponing the upcoming Bill Cosby stand-up comedy special they were supposed to air in the wake of the announcement.
He's done, guys. He's done.
Netflix did not say if or when the special Bill Cosby 77 would ever air. It was originally scheduled for Thanksgiving Day. But now it looks like we may never see it.
You think he'll never come back from this?
I don't.
Yeah
I don't.
Who would hire him?
Yeah.
Who would hire him? Who would go see him in concert?
Kevin
Who would put
Ryder.
Him on TV?
And speaking of Thanksgiving Day and your viewing on that day, besides watching, of course, the Macy's Parade. Look at those balloons. I love it. You can also watch a Bonnaroo special.
Oh, really?
Which will air on VH1. Musical highlights from the Bonnaroo Festival over the last few years. Pretty cool. That includes Paul McCartney, Arcade Fire, Elton John, Metallica, Macklemore and Ryan Lewis, Mumford and Sons, Pearl Jam, Jack White, and many, many more. A very Bonnaroo Thanksgiving premieres on Thanksgiving night on VH1. So you can check that out if you're a music fan. Today's celebrity birthdays, talk show host Larry King. Larry King, you're 81. Hello.
I'm a professional.
You
look
are,
it up
Larry,
in the book.
Look it up. You're 81. Look it up on an abacus. Actress Allison Janney is 55 years old today. Ex-Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver drummer Matt Sorum is 54. Actress Jodie Foster celebrates her 52nd birthday. And motorcycle racer Jeremy McGrath, also lead singer for that band.
Nope.
What was that?
Smart
Sugar Ray.
Smart
I think they were Sugar Ray.
Smart Fly. Smart Fly. Sugar Fly.
That's Mark.
Sugar Fly.
That's Mark. That's not the same person. Mark McGrath. Yeah.
He's 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
We're going to recap Kevin's hosting on Anarchy Afterward coming up in about 15 minutes or so here in K-Rock. First, why not tickets for you for night number one of the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert with a little game we like to call the hardest game in the world.
Presenting the hardest game in the world.
Good morning, Mr. Announcer Man.
Good morning, Kevin and B.
Well, we got these listeners up bright and early, already on the phones, ready to play to win their tickets, Mr. Announcer Man. For folks who maybe haven't heard the game before, how's this one work?
We will play for you an audio clip featuring the name of one of the bands performing at the Almost Acoustic Christmas. All you need to do is identify the band. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot. They'll all be backwards!
Yeah! Good reads.
So if you don't know, here's the tip we give contestants on this game. If you don't know, just guess one of the artists that's playing night number one. It's you got a 1 in 9 chance of just getting lucky, right, Mr. Announcer Man?
Right, Bean.
All right. So, Kevin, what do you – you play it twice for yep. backwards, and then we reveal the answer, right?
That's correct. We play it twice right. backward, then you have to tell us the name of the band.
Twice we will play it backwards, and then you reveal the name of the band.
So how many times? Just two times?
Twice.
Okay.
What do you think about TV's Kevin Ryder slumming and doing radio this morning, Mr. Announcer Man?
Here's Kevin Ryder.
All right, who's our first contestant?
First up is Alex. He is from Irvine. He works in security.
Hey, Alex.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, thank you. Welcome to the hardest game in the world. You ready?
Here we go.
I'll play it for you twice. Here we go.
Snake the owl.
One more time.
Snake the owl.
I'm going to say New Politics.
Rise Against.
Sorry,
Alex.
It's not an easy game.
It's the hardest game in the world. Next up is Renee. He's from Covina. He's a police officer. Cheese it, the fuzz.
Renee, how long has it been since you've heard the fuzz?
just yesterday.
Okay, yeah. Good. All right, you ready for your band?
Yes, I am.
Here you go.
Garth McNeil.
One more time.
System of the Down.
Linkin Park.
Oh, nice try, though, sorry. Officer. Thanks for playing.
Please don't shoot us.
All right, 0 for 2, you guys. I'm getting nervous.
Next up is Luis. He's from Monrovia. He works for the water department. We have plenty of water.
Yeah, we do. Hey, Luis.
One thing California's known for.
Morning.
Morning. You ready for your bands backwards?
Yes, sir.
Here you go.
Mother-cow.
One more time.
Mother-cow.
System of Down?
Yes!
No!
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 No! Bean, that's not correct. Why would you say yes?
No!
That's not
no!
right! Louis, sorry, Louis.
You just destroyed him.
That was
Walk the Moon.
I am the ticket master of the Kevin and Bean show. Oh. Sorry about that, Louis.
Wow.
Sorry, I was a fail.
Wow.
I screwed up on the answer key.
Do you think?
Four, two.
That was on you then? Was that your fault?
I'm gonna tell that was fun though.
You I'm gonna take tell that every one on you?
I'm gonna tell every single person they got it right.
What a bar.
What a
That's
dick.
So fun.
Oh, you crushed him.
Next up is Alfredo. He's from North Hollywood. He's a fire marshal.
Alfredo, congratulations. You've won tickets.
Nope.
Great,
oh, he hasn't
no.
won tickets. I'm sorry.
Once
okay.
again, incorrect.
All right.
All right, Alfredo, here's your band.
Mwadavambatsis.
One more time.
Mwadavambatsis.
System of a Down?
There you go.
System of a Down.
No, B. Oh,
no, right that time. You got
now
that one
go,
right.
Now okay. go, B. Now.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, he's in the drawing.
Yeah. You're in the drawing, Alfredo. Hold on.
I am not good at this game.
It's the hardest game in the world.
It's not easy. Who's next?
Dan. He's from Long Beach. He's a tow truck driver. Boop, 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 boop.
Hey, Dan.
Good morning.
Welcome to the hardest game in the world. Here's your band.
Shub.
One more time. One more time.
Shub.
What is it?
Bush.
Bush.
Nicely done.
Well done, Dan.
Yeah, Shub. Good looking.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
Next right, up.
I think we have time for another.
Good, because I'm in the middle of announcing him. Next up is Sam. He's from Burbank. He's in sales.
Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys.
You ready for your band backwards?
Yeah, I'm ready.
There you go.
Subbing it.
One more time.
Subbing it.
Incubus.
Nicely done.
Wow, this game is not hard at all, Mr. Announcer Man.
It's the easiest game in the world.
All right, one more contestant, please.
Frank from Wilmington. He worked in a pizza place. Hey, Frank, how's it going? Give me extra sausage.
Anything for you, Ralph.
It's Mr. Announcer Man to you, Frank.
What do you do?
All right, you ready for your band?
Yes, sir.
There you go.
Help, dial off.
One more time.
Help, dial off.
Royal Blood.
Fallout Boy.
Sorry about that.
Nice try, though. Hey, listen, we had a rough start, but then we hit a great patch in the middle with Alfredo and Dan and Sam all in the running to win their tickets for the sold-out night number one of the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Only one can win, though. Beer mug. Please give us a winner.
Alfredo, number one.
Yeah! Alfredo, the first person to get it right. Alfredo, congratulations.
Thank you so much. Thank you guys so much.
You got awesome. Tickets to night one for the 25th Annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Man.
See you there, Fire Marshal. Sons of Anarchy, 7 seasons coming to an end. Only 2 episodes left. Give me a little of that beautiful theme music from
into this world.
You know, we love this show. Had a lot of guests on from it over the years, talked about it a lot. Yesterday, Kevin revealed that he had been asked by Kurt Sutter, creator of the show, to host a program called Anarchy Afterward, which is kind of like the Talking Dead is to The Walking Dead. This is where you go on with the guest panels, and you take phone calls, and you discuss the episode that just happened. And Kevin, how would you say our response was to the news yesterday?
Nothing made you happier.
We were
same with Ralph.
We were shocked,
yeah.
And we tried to talk you out of it as well. By the way,
that all happened.
We said, "Dude, don't trust us on this. You don't want to do this."
Yeah.
Yet you still got in your car and you drove down there and you hosted a nationwide television show. You did that last night.
Yeah. And I got there early and waiting around was torture.
Did you feel like a guy eating his last meal waiting for the warden to call or something?
I was just trying to go, oh, it's not that big a deal. It's not that big a deal. Holy crap, it's that big a deal.
Doesn't radio seem easy now?
Yes.
All right, so you're sitting there in your chair and this is the first sound we hear as the show begins.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
What are you thinking as you realize it's your time to talk?
We had rehearsed only that part, and the guy said, "You're talking too fast. You're talking too fast. You need to slow down. You need to slow down." That's all I can think of.
Slow down, you did.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Kevin Ryder from the world famous K-Rock radio station here in Southern California, and we have had.
By the way, how about a little shout out to the Kevin and Bean Show? It would have been a nice effort for you there.
Yeah, I wasn't really thinking about giving our show props. I was more
here in Southern California.
You're more what? Just
scared.
I was more scared.
And we have had the joy of talking to Mr. Kurt Sutter about one of the best TV shows of all time, Sons of Anarchy.
We've had the joy. Kind of makes it sound like the interview's already happened, by the way. It sounds like something you'd say at the end.
No, I mean, we've had him on our radio show is what I meant.
Oh, that's what you meant on the radio show. All right. Kurt Sutter, by the way, who's one of the coolest guys in the world, paid such a compliment to you on TV last night. And this is going to be spotlighting your work. But I do want to give Kurt's words some airtime here, too, because he was very, very sweet to say this.
Thank you. What an amazing episode.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say personally that Kevin is a morning DJ out here in Los Angeles, and I started listening to Kevin and Bean when I first moved to L.A., and I want to thank you not only for being here tonight, but for the past 7 seasons being a huge supporter of this show. Thank you.
I love this show so much, I don't know what to do, and I can't believe there's only 2 episodes left.
I know, right?
I can't believe it. We've also had the joy of talking to Theo Rossi, who is in New York on the satellite. Hi, Theo.
Theo!
Now, how was that, working with a guy on the satellite? Because you had to deal with that delay.
Yeah, it was very difficult. I got to tell you, doing this makes me think like Carson Daly and people like that that make it look easy are unbelievable because there is that little delay. And so he doesn't start talking right away. And then I could only hear him in my earpiece. I couldn't really hear his voice like on a speaker or anything. So it was a little awkward, although I'm glad it was Theo because we did have him 2 weeks ago and he was
exactly. And he remembered you and he was super cool. Yeah. Did you have your questions all written out ahead of time or were you winging it?
I had 100 questions written out and I used 4.
Here's your one of your first questions to Theo Rossi, who plays Juice on the show. And I wondered for a minute, you're kind of teetery here. I wondered if you were going to make it through, but you did.
And another question for Theo, which is that you pretty much thought when you walked into the room with Jax that there's still hope. You can still get back. Maybe there's still a chance for you. What was that like to play?
You're talking really slow. This is Trank Dart, Kevin, is what we're listening to right now.
They kept telling me that I talked too fast, but that sounds like I was really on the verge of a coma.
I was thinking last night, on one hand, I thought it was Trank Dart, Kevin. On the other hand, I thought he's a hostile witness under cross-examination, is what he sounds like. Now we get we're come back after the first commercial break, and I don't know if you did this because this is something you came up with yesterday, but you mentioned on the air yesterday that you were going to just not use anybody's last names because you were concerned that you were going to screw up Drea DeMatteo.
Yeah, because
you didn't use anybody's last names on the show last night.
Well, luckily they introduced them. Big voice guy introduced them. So I asked him beforehand. I said, "Look, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm bad with names." So. Can I just let the announcer do it? And they were like, yeah, whatever works for you.
Well, here's how that sounded. Back from commercial break. Here's the monkey.
Jimmy, that was unbelievable. That was unbelievable. Tell me about playing that role, sitting in front of that character, and I don't know if you're defending Gemma or if you're trying to save Jax. What are you feeling at that moment?
He's not saying anything.
Yeah.
Confusion.
What was that like with Jimmy Smith? He just seemed like he was overwhelmed by the situation.
Here's what I'll tell you. They did come to me beforehand, and they said Jimmy Smith is really nervous, and in every interview situation has a difficult time because has trouble talking about acting. Mm-hmm. Like it's not him being a dick. It's not him being mean. He just is uncomfortable, doesn't know what to say. So I sort of knew that going in, but it was still a little disconcerting in that I had just asked, I thought, a pretty loaded question. I mean, it was the scene of the night where he's sitting down with Jax and he's telling him he can't kill his own mom.
Right, right.
And then there wasn't much there, and that sort of freaked me out a bit.
Well, fortunately, what I found out of the next question is you don't need somebody to talk to still fill up a lot of time with a question.
You are the character on the show, and this sort of struck me over the last couple that you know... You have a lot of questions. You're not exactly sure what's going on with Gemma. You're not exactly sure what's going on with Jax. You sort of wonder, but you're loyal to both. And then it comes down to that scene between where you're with Gemma and Jax is on the phone.
Still going.
And the camera's on your face for...
Still talking.
A minute and a half, it seems like. And all we see is your face. That was genius.
Is there a question?
What are you thinking? Are you listening to the phone? Is someone talking to you?
Mr. Smith is asleep by that point, but the question does finally land.
It's funny that I make fun of Muggs for doing that exact same thing.
I know, exactly. You're coming out of another break here, and now's the moment I've been waiting for watching you host Anarchy afterward, because you're getting ready to take live phone calls on TV. By the way, still no last names for any of your guests.
And we are back. It's Anarchy Afterward, and very excited to be here. We have Drea, we have Jimmy, we have Theo in New York, we have Kurt. We're going to take some phone calls, although the monitor is out, so I'm going to start with some social media questions.
What happened there with the monitor out? What happened?
Literally, there was a giant monitor. All it said was Nashville Jimmy, or whoever it was, and it was just, it went black. It was just no monitor.
Right there as you're going on the air in live TV.
So
you covered really well by going right to some of the Twitter questions.
So the director says, all right, take the first call. We're going to do two calls, and I said, just before it came back to me, I can't see the monitor. So then I went to some of the Twitter and Facebook and those kind of questions.
Ollie wrote in on Twitter last night, hey, nice shirt, Kevin, trying to look like a cholo on Christmas. What were you wearing, by the way?
I was wondering why, a black shirt.
Uh-huh.
They
that
told
was three sizes too big.
No, listen. They told me to bring shirts and give them options, and I brought a blue shirt and I put it on. I swear to God, it was like five times too big. I looked like you know when a little kid, like a 5 year old, puts on his dad's shirt.
Right.
That's what I looked like with that one. So I went out and I said, "Is this too big?" I had no idea what I was doing, dude. You know that.
You're wearing a collared shirt. That was weird enough, by the way.
And jeans.
Because we're T-shirt people. All right. A couple more clips from the show last night. Kevin's going to the phones.
All right. I believe we have a Lauren in Washington, D.C. Good morning, Lauren.
Tell me about good morning, Lauren.
As you can imagine, we rehearsed phone calls as well. And I said good morning. And I made a note, don't say good morning.
And that was just muscle memory from doing this show.
Yep. I couldn't, no matter what. Like I noticed it ahead of time. I knew I was saying it. I wrote, say welcome. And then I said good morning.
Well, when people pointed that out on Twitter, I said, excuse me, it's already after midnight in Washington, D.C., where the caller was. Kevin was just paying attention to the clock.
Nice. Thank you, Bean.
All right, one more call.
All right, we have another call. This is from Pittsburgh. Elizabeth, welcome.
Didn't think you were going to get that one out, but you did. You had good questions, good calls. All right, here's something I wanted to ask you about. Did you intentionally swear on the air on Anarchy Afterward last night?
I used a word that they said was fine.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
What did that feel like?
It was strange because it's not fine here.
Right.
So
it's not fine on most live television shows.
They said you can use the S word, and then we went through the other words that you can and can't use, and some of the favorite words of some of the actors. Don't panic if they use it. We'll just drop out the audio, but that you can say that. And I was trying to give a quote, which I had written out by hand to make sure that I got the quote right, and I didn't get it right at all.
When Jax runs out and he's being chased by the police,
right.
And the guy hits him with his car, and he says, "What do you want to do?" And Jax says, "I want you to eat." What do you say? Eat fewer donuts.
Stop
you piece
eating.
Of
yeah.
There you go. Kevin and his potty mouth on TV. Parents, Television Council ought to be all up in your grill.
It was a quote from the show, though.
And finally, my DVR, anyway, ran out before I could see any of the scenes from the next episode, which is going to be on in 2 weeks, because there was too much blabbing going on in the show. So here's what it sounded like at my house as you prepare to set that up.
So, well, that's it for us.
I'm very excited.
Well, that's it for us. Let's take a sneak peek at the very next.
That's how it ended. That's how it ended.
So you missed the tease?
I didn't see. That's the last thing I saw. So I didn't get to hear the words Sins of Anarchy, which was very popular.
I did say Sins of Anarchy, yeah.
And I didn't get to see the scenes from the next episode, which is the next to last episode.
Yeah.
So you're going to be back on our TVs after the next episode airs in 2 weeks then.
That's what they told me last night, but they also all said good job. And you did do a good job, by the way. You know the way I work. In my head, if people give me a compliment, I think I'm being punked. Like, okay, they probably tell everybody this. And then
Muggs, what'd you think of the monkey last night? I thought he did great.
I thought Kevin looked fantastic.
No, shut
sounded
up.
Fantastic.
See,
he did a very well.
See,
job.
Too much.
Very well, good job done.
You did it, Kevin.
Our friend Petros Papadakis joins us in studio in about 20 minutes talking about college football. It's a big, big week. Also, actress Brooke Shields on the program today. Sean White stops by and Adam Carolla. It's all coming up here this morning on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Tell me about this list of words Time Magazine wants us to stop using in 2015.
It's a pretty popular puff piece that a lot of publications online and in real life will do where they go, hey, we're tired of this word. What words are you tired of? The article was entitled, Which Words Should Be Banned in 2015? So it's stuff, you know, in the past it would be like twerk last year,
right.
Or YOLO or something like that. So their list this year includes some words, some of which have created quite a bit of controversy. One of the words, for instance, is kale. They're just tired of hearing about kale. They want people to stop talking about kale.
What is that? Is that a fish?
Yes, that's right, Kevin. It is a fish. Bae. You've heard people refer to their boyfriend or girlfriend as my bae. They want people to stop doing that. But the one that's really got them into trouble, and I can't imagine, I mean, I guess they felt like the word was being used by so many different people to mean so many different things that they just got tired of it, is the word feminist.
Yeah, that's a surprise. They want that to not be used in 2015?
Yes.
2015?
The poll that offered feminist as the word that readers could vote for was included because it has become a thing that every celebrity has to state their position on. Well, you can imagine the outrage from people who do consider themselves feminists or people who respect other feminists who said, hey, that's insane. We've worked really hard to make feminism a thing and to have people think about things from a woman's point of view. So Time Magazine has come out and apologized for this, saying that feminist should not have been included in a list of words to ban. While we meant to invite debate about some ways the word was used this year, that nuance was lost, and we regret that its inclusion has become a distraction from the important debate over the equality and justice issues. So we wanted to find out more about this with our good friend who we go to for all these touchy, politically correct matters, and he is Bruce Endicott from Coffee, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Tell us again, please, what Coffee stands for.
Oh, Coffee, yes. Our organization, the initialism stands for Caucasian Organization for Friendship Enveloping Everyone.
Okay. I don't know why it needs to be a race issue, why it would not just be everybody trying to get along, not just Caucasians, but we'll accept that.
We're just identifying ourselves as, of course, the upper echelon of people. We are white, male, rich people, and we know a lot of people look up to us as the leaders of the world, and they look to us as, where do we get our social cues from? And so here we are trying to reach out across the chasm, be it sex or race or sexual preference, and we're reaching out and we're creating a bridge of understanding.
Okay. All right, your reaction.
Lesser people.
They're not lesser
people.
Sorry,
for lesser.
They're not lesser.
The lesser
you don't
ones,
mean that.
The lower ones, the ones beneath them.
You don't mean that at all, Bruce. All right, listen. What about this Time Magazine controversy? Where does Coffee weigh in on this?
Horrible.
Horrible. Horrible that they included the word feminist
absolutely
on the list. It's ridiculous,
a
right?
A huge mistake on the part of Time Magazine. We're very disturbed by this.
Okay.
Because, first of all, Time Magazine needs to recognize that girls are very touchy.
What?
Girls are touchy. Let's face it. Chicks can be very sort of sensitive. And when these broads hear something like that, they're just like, and they start talking. Who knows what they say because, you stop listening. But
all right, we don't call them broads or chicks anymore in the 21st century. And some of these women raised a reasonable point that mm-hmm. feminism is important to them.
Sure it is. That's adorable. We have to recognize that when you say things like that, you're going to get a reaction like this. Because, come on, who knows what time of the month it was, right, fellas?
What is wrong with you? That doesn't have anything to do with it. Again, that's just a sexist remark. There's no place for that.
It isn't. It's fact, first of all. Is it not?
But you're supposed to be helping us get along.
I am helping get along by helping you understand why this was a huge mistake on the part of Time Magazine. Imagine some girl in the middle of her cycle reading Time Magazine, and next thing you know, boop, hormone spike, and then when her husband comes home, there's a burnt steak. That's all I'm saying. Nobody wants that.
I'm not sure you're helping at all, Bruce.
I think I'm helping an enormous amount, and you guys must not get it. That's what I'm thinking. I'm trying to help and reach out to all the chicks out there who just are desperately in need of someone with who's smarter to stand up for them and say, don't say feminism is a word we shouldn't use anymore. Of course we're all tired of it. Of course it's meaningless. Of course we just let them talk about it so they'll
that's not
leave
what they're
us alone
saying
for 5 minutes
all
and let us watch football.
That's not
we
what
understand that, but let them have it is what we're saying.
That's not what anyone is
let
saying except you.
Let women be feminist as meaningless as that may be.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I think we've accomplished a lot here today, Mr. Endicott. Thank you.
I think we have too.
The best part of the day.
Sort of sweet, isn't it?
Hey, I was telling you guys something important. This new Bruno Mars song sounds exactly like The Time. It's so good. You guys have to check it out. It's called Uptown Funk.
Oh, it's all good.
I will.
And they were just happy because they were able to turn on the microphones. And,
well, the song was ending. I mean, it wasn't a choice.
Yes, that I couldn't be heard.
When we turned the microphones on here in the studio, our link to Bean of whatever he's saying just stops immediately.
I get muted, yes.
But I will be honest. There are times when I turn the mic on early.
I did notice that. It's a little bit of an orgasm feeling, actually. When that just silence happens. You're like, oh, my God. So good.
He was talking. Now he's not.
That's right.
Hey, guys. Our track record with Petros Papadakis the last couple of visits has been spotty at best, right?
Look.
Hasn't he been late, or he oversleeps, or he forgets to call?
A busy man who's working like 19 jobs. He works like a Jamaican, for God's sake.
Yeah, lots
and
of TV.
And he's got a young child at home. It's a difficult schedule.
I'm not complaining. I'm just wondering, is he going to be
like
here?
You are, a little bit.
I'm just setting up the question, which is right. He here? Is he going to be
here
after the top
yet.
Of the
year?
He's not here yet.
But okay. He doesn't right. need to be, and we think
we expect right. to see him soon.
We expect to see him soon is the best we
okay.
can do.
Yeah. That's like we always do. That's coming up on K-Rock right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday.
Another day, another accusation of sexual assault on Dr. William Cosby.
What?
Bill Cosby. Who now seems like the floodgates have opened.
Yeah.
And every woman he ever inappropriately touched, allegedly, is coming forward with her story. The latest from another celebrity, in quotes, Janice Dickinson, the self-proclaimed first supermodel, revealed to Entertainment Tonight that she, again, this is according to her story, was sexually assaulted by Cosby. Back in the early 1980s, when she was still the top of the supermodel game, here is Janice Dickinson's story as she told it last night on Entertainment Tonight.
In 1982, I was on a job in Bali, in Indonesia, and he called, and the conversation was, the best of my recollection, you need to get to Lake Tahoe because I'll be performing there, and I want to offer you that job we talked about, as well as helping you with a singing career I hear you're trying to do. When I arrived in Lake Tahoe, Bill was performing at the venue, and then after dinner, in my room, he had given me wine and a pill. The next morning, I woke up, and I wasn't wearing my pajamas, and I remember before I passed out that I had been sexually assaulted by this man.
She says she remembered him climbing on top of her in a patchwork robe that he dropped. And she says she's talking about it now because, obviously, other women have come forward and she believes it's the right thing to do. And
did she not talk about it then at all? I mean,
I got to do some more research on it, but she's written several books about her life.
Oh, she has.
And that story was never included in the books. However, I have heard from another source that there was some sort of deal made where Cosby's lawyers came to her and pressured her to take the story out of one of her books. So I'm going to do a little bit more research and see what I can come up with.
She didn't go to the police or anything like that, Kevin.
No,
that's
she
what
did
you're
not.
Thinking.
No, she didn't.
And to the best of your knowledge, he hasn't been charged by any police anywhere, right?
Not Doesn't to mean the he's best of my knowledge.
Innocent or guilty, but...
It does. I guess he did settle out of court with one of these accusers.
Yeah.
She brought him a civil suit. And there was a cash settlement made outside of that courtroom, and one of the deals was her silence in exchange for the money. So, again, that does not mean guilt at all on his part. He could have paid her just to go away to avoid a nuisance.
Right.
But it does seem like there's a lot of sudden allegations, and some people that bothers me are saying, well, Janice Dickinson, what's she doing drinking wine and taking pills with men in her room, whatever? I will not stand by for the victim blaming, because... First of all, it's the 80s. Everybody's partying. You do a drug. You drink. That whatever. That's not permission to be raped. And second of all, who do you feel safest with on the planet in the 80s partying with? Dr. Huxtable.
Yeah.
America's dad. You got to figure, well, he's a funny guy, a nice guy. We're going to party and have a good time, right? You don't expect anything like that to happen.
Have you noticed, Ralph, that some of these allegations go back to the 60s?
Yes.
There are a couple of women from the 70s. Here's the 80s. All the way up until the mid-2000s, there are rape allegations. I mean, this appears to be, if true, appears to be a pattern over 40-plus years.
Yeah. And it's, if it's true, if any of it is true, devastating to those of us who grew up watching Bill Cosby and thinking of him as some sort of role model. And that was a big part of his allure in the 80s. He was like America's dad. He was he showed you the way to raise your kids and the right thing to do. And he's been very publicly outspoken about his opinion on race relations and about the youth culture and how people should behave. It's just I don't think anyone's had a bigger fall from grace if any of these accusations happen to be true.
It does remind me of when we found out about Mr. Rogers in that village he massacred in Nam, remember?
Killed all those kids with that sniper,
killed the
with
kids.
That sniper rifle.
Not
yeah,
sure that was a
yeah.
Same sort of thing.
We found he was tatted all over the place. That's why he wore the sweater, because he was tatted
totally
up and
sleeved,
down.
Yep.
It was crazy.
I don't think those are true.
How about some make-believe about hose?
Okay, take it easy.
He had hose in different area codes at Mr. Rogers. I have so many good stories, but I have no time left. So come back in an hour. Or stick
you
around.
You can have Petros this time when he doesn't show.
Yeah, when Petros doesn't show at 7:05, you can do the story.
I've got an update on Bono's injuries from his bicycle accident.
Oh, need to know that.
Does not bode well for night two of the Almost a Christmas.
We need him healthy on December 14th.
Look, right? I want it to be so. I'm just saying they're much worse than we were led to believe. And we will do an update on that, I promise. And also we'll talk about the sexiest man alive.
Thank you.
Was it Muggs this year?
Yeah.
And also Kim Kardashian and her glazed donut, as they're calling it now. her oily ass. Who's benefiting? Who's paying the price? It'll be Ass Watch 2014 in an hour. Meanwhile, today's celebrity birthdays. Talk show host Larry King is 81 years old today. Actress Allison Janney currently can be seen on Mom. She's 55 years old. Matt Sorum, drummer for Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver, is 54. Jodie Foster, the Oscar-winning actress, is 52. And motorcycle racer Jeremy McGrath celebrates his 43rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep listening for your tickets for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Show. Hey, Petros, how are you?
Hey, hello. I want to apologize to all the people I just broke a bunch of laws in front of in my
It's not time for you yet. Let me do some business here first, P. I just was saying hi. I was just being polite, buddy. Pipe down.
Well, you just kind of opened the door.
Acoustic Christmas is right around the corner. If you want to see great bands like Smashing Pumpkins, Tears for Fears, U2, Rise Against, Linkin Park, Incubus, Imagine Dragons, and more, then maybe you should be Miss Double December 2015. How about that, Kevin?
I was wondering how you were going to get into Miss Double December. She gets that. She gets to do singles parties. She gets to do weenie roast, the whole thing. And Miss Double December, you can go to krock.com right now, and you can enter. You have to send three photographs. You have to be 21 or above. You have to answer a couple of questions.
Oh, you really parade that woman around the city for about a year. It's really
pretty
something.
Well, see, here's the thing, that people don't like to look at us, so we just bring somebody
look,
else.
Not handsome like
look
on your
at
show.
Her. There's the queen from the Tournament of Roses.
Right.
And there's Miss Double
and there's
December.
Miss Double,
and
they're
parallel, classy women
it's
in
about
this
equal,
city.
Right.
Yes. And I agree. I've been part of the judging process for years. I've been X'd out recently.
Pete, come on down. December 5th.
It's okay.
December 5th.
I'm
we're
not reliable.
A winner.
Everybody knows.
Slide Bar at Fullerton, December 5th, but you have until the close of our show on Friday to get your entry. In. Please go to krock.com for all the details. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the awesome Petros Papadakis.
Hey, now.
And the Fox Sports TV and so much else that you're doing. How you
so
been,
So many
Pete?
Things. I'm okay. I'm not traveling this year, so it's been like a little different for football season. I'm in a more sterile studio environment.
Like it better
evening.
Or worse? Other than the travel.
I kind of settled into doing this and being at home with my family.
How often are you on TV?
I don't know, maybe 5 nights a week.
Just that?
During
maybe 5 nights a week?
Well, depends. 4 or 5. Maybe 6.
And 5 days a week doing the radio show?
Yes. We work we have a look, I'm not a coal miner, but we have I don't get a day off from August 20th to like December 10th or something.
Wow. Is there ever a time that you wake up and go, I just don't care about sports today?
Oh, every Sunday morning after I watch football all day Saturday, everybody's like, hey, and I get a bunch of texts like, did you see Sanchez? Or, you know, did you see Brett? You know, well, Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, see, I still think he's playing. it's hard to stomach it. I just can't watch those guys run around in those helmets as much as I have to.
You've never been a huge fan of talking about football specifically.
I just hate,
even though you
play I hate fans.
You
is
hate
that bad,
you hate
even though they pay
fans.
All my... No, I don't hate them, but they're just, you know, people are just so annoying, you know?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, in some
in other
cases,
words, you think that people are too invested in their teams, you mean?
I think that people are just, like, buying into the lie, you know? It's like you pay this season ticket thing and you've created this, like, fake community of high fives. And everybody's broing out, but you wouldn't pee on that person if they were on fire outside of Dodger Stadium or the Staples Center or what. Okay, you know what?
If
can we just talk
fire,
about rivalry week?
I'd pee on them. Yes, rivalry week.
You know what I'm saying. Kings games and you do
saying.
Your fist bumping
do, yeah.
And you
it's
do
a,
your chest
family.
Bumping.
It's a family.
Oh, what? You pay for them.
No,
it's like being in a fraternity.
But here's what I will say about sports fans, and that's that they are the most critical fans of any. TV shows, music, anything. Sports fans really are critical.
Yeah, they're hateful.
Hardcore,
people.
Hateful. They hate other fans, other teams, the whole thing.
Yeah.
Pete, you're out at Dodger Stadium multiple times a year.
I like it there. I like
don't
the Latinos.
You, but, But I'm saying, don't you love the camaraderie of 50,000 people sitting together enjoying all the same thing? Well, that's a beautiful thing. What's wrong with that?
Nah, you're right.
Who hurt you?
No, you're right. It is it is fun. Sometimes it's fun. But I don't – like, look, you got to look at – I mean, I haven't been to a football game and sat in a stand since I was in high school. You know, it's always
so it's been a long time since you've been able to just be a fan of anything.
I haven't been in a long time. You know, I'm an analyst. I say analytical things. I am like an ivory towerist. Is that a word?
It isn't, but
I don't think so.
Efforting is a word.
All right, let me ask you this. Are you, as a former Trojan, let's not forget that P was the captain of the worst Trojan team in modern history, are you still a fan of USC? Like, is that the team you root for in your heart, or is it just another name on a schedule for you?
I root for USC basketball because I am the PA guy for USC basketball.
Right, but you're really rooting
Ten
for
years.
You. You're really rooting for you, though, in that situation.
Yeah. You know, basically, I'm rooting for a guy to have a palming call.
Right.
So I can go, palming.
All right, but what about my question?
Seriously, I get so excited for palming.
You have about no your alma mater.
It doesn't get called that often.
I say it twice. Yeah. I go, palming, and then I go, palming the basketball.
Are you a fan of the USC Trojans?
The football team?
Yes.
No. I've had to call their games on television and say critical things or things that praise them or overpraise them, especially when I was covering them extensively during that big win streak and all those
championships. But you don't care if they win or lose if you're calling them in a game.
I can't. I'm not supposed to. And I just kind of live with that. You know, because when you do football games, and I'm not trying to talk down to anybody, but when you do them every week for like 14 years and you sit in production meetings and you talk to coaches and you watch all these guys get hired and fired and cleaned out and then moved to another place, and that's how they live, they're vagabonds, and you see the players grow and go on to the NFL or go on to business, and I mean, that's happened four or five times now. I did Mark Sanchez's games when he was a junior in high school. You know, this guy's like an NFL vet now. You know, we've done this for a long time, so it really just becomes more about people and less about the colors on the helmets. It just becomes about this coach or this system or this kid from this place, and you knew this coach that coached him or somebody's
Would
brother.
Would you have somehow remained a fan had you not become an analyst?
No, I don't think I wasn't much of a football fan after once I was started high school.
And
once I became a football player, you know, people don't really understand the bubble, and it's changed a lot now with social media, and football players are more readily available to fans, and there's a lot more communication. There's more radio shows. There's more TV shows. There's 24-hour networks. When I played, not that long ago, my last year was 2000. Well, I guess it is that long ago. but when I played, that you were much more in a bubble. You know, there was talk. It was a big business. There was a lot of money being made. But you still were kind of isolated from the world. And to a certain degree, football players still are, just with the workload. The thing I don't like about the way people perceive modern football, and the NFL is a huge part of this, it is so huge, it's almost too big to fail, and the more people that are interested, the more information that's out there about the sport, the less people actually know. Fantasy football and video games make these guys really faceless, and really, there's really a lack of connection with the flesh and blood part of the sport for, I think, 80% of the fans out there. And that's why I'm not comfortable with how that's been developing. And I think football's got to have some breaking point. You know, the Adrian Peterson, the Ray Rice thing. I mean, there's something coming. I just don't know what it is.
That's the voice of our friend Petros Papadakis from the Petros and Money Radio Show. You can hear weekday afternoons on AM 570 KLAC. We're going to take a quick break.
When some we philosophy come back, for you, Bean. I just put it right on you, man.
You laid it
we
down.
Will talk about rivalry week, right, number 9 UCLA versus number 19 USC, and we'll discuss this year's new college football national championship game that
awaits
us. It's all coming up with the P right after this on K-Rock. He is a college football analyst for Fox Sports 1 and the co-host of the Petros and Money Radio Show on Fox Sports Radio AM 570. And just announced last night, ladies and gentlemen, People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive, Petros Papadakis, in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
I didn't hear the news. Congratulations.
I feel the sarcasm about it. I know that I'm not a good-looking man. You know how I know? I have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
It's a great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hashtag Fatros is pretty popular on the Twitter machine, that's for sure.
Basically anything, Sarcastros, you know, anything you can put a roast in front of or behind, it's...
Let's give away a pair of tickets to see USC take on UCLA at the Rose Bowl this Saturday, courtesy of our friends at TuneIn. Call now 1-800-520-1067. Caller 20, you win. Why is Bill Plachke of the LA Times this morning, P, says that UCLA faces more pressure on Saturday than USC does. How come?
I don't know about that. Bill might be a little misguided.
UCLA's
there.
Ninth, USC's 19th.
Well,
the latest.
UCLA has had, I understand what he's saying, because going into the season, UCLA has had higher expectations, and they haven't played up to them. They now have a chance to win out, control their own destiny, at least through the Pac-12 championship. There are people that think a two-loss UCLA team considered by the playoff committee. We don't know what else is going to happen. And I'm not going to bore you with the minutia of this game and that game and this schedule and that schedule. But UCLA has a conceivable chance, maybe, to get into the college playoff if they win out. But beating USC, then beating Stanford, and then beating Oregon, who just blew them away, blew their doors off in the Rose Bowl, that's going to be a tall order for them. And this is going to be a very emotionally draining game. I think they'll win this game. I think UCLA's just a skosh better than USC right now. They've both been very inconsistent this year, because when you're talking about USC and UCLA, you're talking about the two most talented teams always for the last 50 years generally,
right,
on the West Coast. So they should really beat everybody. But coaching that is not as easy as it seems, and getting those guys to play together and put together four quarters. And if you know USC and UCLA football this year, you know both those teams have had big trouble putting together four quarters of football. But I understand what Bill's saying. UCLA's had big expectations, and they lost those two in a row, and it was ugly. And they've had some trouble in other games that they've just pulled out. But so has SC.
Is this the game that for each team is the one they most look forward to all year long?
SC's a little trickier because it has the Notre Dame game, and these are really weird years when you have the even years and you play them back to back. In odd years, USC goes out to Notre Dame in October, and it's about the leaves changing and this and that. And it's an old story that goes back to two coaches and their wives, Howard Jones and Newt Rockne. Newt Rockne's wife was from LA or had family out here, so every Thanksgiving weekend on an even year.
Really? That's how it.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
They bring the team out on a train, and they would play in the Coliseum, same place, and they would, it'd be about Hollywood and Thanksgiving. And, you know, L.A.'s kind of a cool place for the holidays, especially.
And Howard Jones is the things can only get better guy, right?
No. He was a USC coach with a turtleneck sweater. We're talking old school now.
Hey, you need to bring the turneck back. That's what you need to start wearing on Fox Sports 1.
To be fair, Stu Lance of the Lakers wears a dickie under his, which is like a turtleneck chainmail chest shield kind of thing.
Right.
Under his
I'm
blazer.
I'm not sure you can get away with that.
You think I could bring the dickie back?
I'm not positive that's true.
Anyway, so when you're at USC and you play UCLA and then Notre Dame in back-to-back weeks, and all the tradition that comes along with those rivalries, and all the old guys that show up and tell you what a big deal it is, and of course, the Coliseum's going to be absolutely full, and the Rose Bowl's going to be absolutely full for these games. It's a lot when you're 20 years old.
Does that divide the attention of USC?
No, because a game week is a game week. It's just hard to get it going again, you know. And it's hard to do that with a bunch of young guys 2 weeks in a row because they're very emotional games. Adrenaline takes a lot out of you. And when you have a bunch of adrenaline to start a rivalry game because people are freaking out and there's a lot of S-talking, it has a tendency to make it an up-and-down game. And we see that every year almost with SC and UCLA. The UCLA-SC rivalry is fueled with hatred and vitriol. And a real...
But from the players or from...
The players.
The people who've graduated from both schools.
From the alums is what it seems like to me.
The alums, too, but there's a bunch of white people. I'm talking about the players.
Okay. They do hate each other.
Yeah, because you know this guy from high school. You know this guy from there. These guys, social media has changed things a little bit. But believe me, it's not cool between SC and UCLA. It's never going to be cool, and they don't want it to be cool, and I'm not cool with most of the UCLA guys. If I saw Cade McNown in this studio and it wasn't Sean White, it was Cade McNown coming in today, I'd kick him square in the balls.
You would?
Oh, yeah.
I wish he was a professional.
And then I would crow like a rooster over it, because I don't like that fool. You know, I really don't. And that's SC, but really that's USC, UCLA. The USC-Notre Dame is a quieter rivalry. You don't talk as much during the game. It's more of an honorable thing. And, I mean, those guys are from all over the country. The UCLA guys, most of them you knew from just coming up in the world of football. In the pros, like the Chargers-Raiders is a rivalry, and somebody gets shanked every year, right?
Right,
and,
right.
Hey, Raiders, and hey, Chargers, yep. Raiders, Chargers, you know. Those players could not care less.
Really?
About the fact that it's the Raiders this week or the Jets or the whatever. I mean, everybody's in it for the game check. College is different. You know, they're gunning for your legs and knees. Nobody's making money. And those players want each other to really suffer in this Saturday.
Pete, in our remaining moments, let's talk a little bit about the new format for the College Football National Championship game. Now, previously, the BCS determined it by computer. Now there's a little more human input as to who goes where?
Yeah, there's a lot of humans. There's 13 humans, 13 breathing organisms that all have an iPad. And some of them are athletic directors like Pat Hayden of USC or Barry Alvarez of Wisconsin. And their conferences make money when they if they have a, you know, like let's say there was two Pac-12 reps and a 14 playoff. Pac-12's going to make more. I mean, there's a little bias there.
Yeah, that's weird that they
Condoleezza Rice is on the committee.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. No.
Yes.
The former Secretary of State, Condoleezza
Rice.
Yes. helps decide who plays in the college football championship.
Correct.
Game.
That doesn't make any sense.
The daughter of a coach. And she's big fan.
There's a lot of
guys.
Daughters of coaches.
Yeah, I think she has a higher calling. She's the only one that has a battleship named after her.
That's weird. Yeah.
So, whatever. So it's very interesting. I have a tendency to think they're just kind of, they're like the NFL now with this Ray Rice thing and the Adrian Peterson just kind of really swaying with the wind of public opinion. They put out these rankings every week for no good reason other than the fact that we all argue about them and freak out. And that's really what college football is. And that was what the BCS was. And it sparks a conversation and that's what they want. They don't care if it's a negative conversation or positive. But I think at the end of the day, and it usually happens, all these things are going to play themselves out. I think it would be desperately wrong to have two representatives from any single conference, especially the SEC.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Well, they'll do it. I mean, there's two SEC teams in the top four right now. That should play itself out, but you can't have five power conferences and four playoff spots. With these conference title games, with sponsors and all these different things.
It sounds like you think it was flawed from the get-go.
Yeah, I think they need eight teams. If you're going to do a playoff, you just put the eight teams in, and that way you can get your two SEC teams in for all the rednecks in the South that have nothing else to talk about. and we can just go forward that way. I think it's going to change pretty drastically.
I think I misheard you that you said Condoleezza Rice gets a vote.
She not only has a vote, but she's the only person on there that has not. I mean, to me, I don't care that there's a woman on there.
I don't either.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
But what does she have to do with college football?
I would appreciate it if it was a woman, a media person or otherwise, administrator or coach. I don't know that, you know, Whoopi Goldberg from Eddie, or
it was a fake coach.
Goldie Hawn from Wildcats,
right?
The first
You're
Woody and Wesley movie.
What You're I mean, confused.
I just would like it if somebody made their living in football for a decade at least, and then
I would have assumed that
they
you gotta get her on there. Why
put her on there so people will talk about her being on there? And we're doing.
You have to get her on the show,
Condi.
Yeah,
she's not hard to talk to. She's a huge Stanford football fan. And she works at Stanford, so she's always around. I don't really know what we'd talk about. Political on her? What would happen?
Matt would, wouldn't he?
I don't know.
She'd kill him. That's what would happen.
You think so?
He's the dyed-the-wool Republican. He'd be fine together.
She would snap his neck and move right on.
All right. We're going to have to leave it there. We are all out of time. Hey, by the way, Pete, thanks for coming all the way down here. I'm sorry it was such a bear this morning.
I felt so unreliable.
Well, so you are unreliable.
Ever since my child has been born, my priorities have changed.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I feel like we've been knocked down a couple of notches.
No, I vow to do better.
Came.
Yeah, but you know what? I've also been excised from the Miss Double December judging. So
I invited you. You're back. December 5th.
Championship
please.
That day, man. Sorry. I just wanted the opportunity to turn it down.
All right, you're invited, and you've turned it down.
Well, no, I promise, in front of all your degenerate listeners who could not care less,
right?
I promise to be more reliable.
Okay.
All right, P.
That's good enough. Thanks.
Well, that's awkward.
All right. Olympic gold medalist Shaun White joins us in about 20 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Then we'll talk to actress Brooke Shields. You know she started modeling, Kevin, when she was 11 months old.
What?
and has been working ever since, except when she took time off to go to Princeton. That's how smart and pretty she is.
Did you say 11 Shields. Months?
Yes. I think she was a she was like a Gerber baby or one of those models, one of those kind of models. Yeah. Anyway, we'll catch up with Miss Shields coming up here on the Kevin Bean Show. First, though, listen to this news report, my lazy stoner friends.
25-year-old Roddy Rodney and 30-year-old Michael Peicher are about to shake up the medical marijuana market as they get set to launch a new app offering the ability to buy marijuana and have it delivered from your fingertips.
We want to make it more convenient for the people who are, you know, dealing with certain type of ailments, and want to make it easier for them to be able to get their medication without having to make that awkward trip out to the store.
We're happy to say we're the first app to do this.
The app, called Nest Drop, works like a kind of Uber for medical marijuana, as they partner with dispensaries who will then deliver throughout the LA area in under an hour.
There's no way to skirt around the law here. So you have to do everything the way you normally would. We're just giving you a new platform to do it. So you have to have your state-issued photo ID, your medical marijuana card, and your doctor's recommendation.
The co-founder of Nest Drop joins us on the phone right now, Michael Peicher. Hey, Michael, how are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. Great to be here.
How quickly can you get to Venice and Fairfax? I'm hitting the crap out of this app right now. I want it to go through. When can you be here?
We'll be there in under an hour, probably closer to 30 minutes, 30 to 45 minutes. We'll get there.
That's a pretty good deal.
If you guys don't mind, can I stall until we can hang out with Sean White and Brooke Shields?
No, sorry. Well, that depends. Can you make a delivery on your way here?
We'll do it. It's a
deal. So how did it happen? Are you just one of these smart guys who just looked around and said, hey, wait a minute, how is there not an app for this yet? Something that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people in California are using. Somebody needs to do this. Why not me?
I mean, sort of, kind of. I mean, the decision probably, the inkling came that way, but then a lot of research and a lot of thought and a lot of careful, back and forth, yes or no, should we do it, went into it prior. And then looking into the law, looking into the opportunity, looking into, like, what consumers want, then we were like, all right, we have something. Let's do it.
Let me ask you about the law. Because my understanding is California says, hey, that's fine, and the United States says, not so good. Is that still the case?
That is still the case right now. I mean, there's a lot of momentum, obviously pushing forward towards legalization of medical marijuana throughout the whole country. Just recently, Washington, D.C. legalized it recreationally. Oregon, they followed suit after Washington and Colorado. So there's a lot of push to have that become the status quo. And a lot more of a public is starting to understand what the benefits of medical marijuana are. So there's a lot of momentum in that direction. And we think it's heading in the right way. It's a positive thing. But currently, federally just moves a lot slower than state laws, and so naturally for that to be able to eventually switch over, it takes a little bit longer than the speed at which an individual state government can do that.
Right. Sure. Now, I haven't seen any stories on the news like it seemed like we were getting a couple of years ago of the feds going in and shutting down these medical marijuana dispensaries. It does seem like they've taken a little bit more of a hands-on approach, and I don't know if that's, you know, based on a nod from the president or what, but it does seem like they're backing off, probably because of what you're talking about is the changing public feelings about it, right?
Yeah, I think there's just more awareness and more education. I mean, it's not to say that they aren't still active and they are still doing stuff, certainly, but recently the DA just lost some of its funding in order to enforce this. And the truth of the matter is it's becoming a lot more expensive to be able to enforce this than to actually just let it happen. Letting it happen will actually be an incredible economic stimulus, a really good boost to a lot of people. And enforcing this, it just costs me more than what they're actually getting back in return.
Well, God knows California does not need the money, right? I mean, rolling in it.
Michael Peicher's on the phone, by the way. He's the co-founder of an app called Nest Drop. Was it tough for you to come up with a name for your medical marijuana delivery app? Because those are words that don't ordinarily, you know, in my mind, go together. Nest Drop.
You guys just touched on perhaps the most difficult part of this entire business venture.
Picking a name?
The name.
Why did you go with something like pot delivery or something that was, you know, kind of explained what it was?
Well, we also do alcohol delivery. We started off doing alcohol.
Whoa, hold on, hang on. Hold it just a minute.
This is a great American on the line, ladies and gentlemen.
Alcohol, you also deliver.
We've been delivering alcohol throughout Los Angeles since summer.
Well, you're burying the lead on that one.
Now you're hitting all of our audience, Michael. All right, we don't have a lot of time. I do want to ask you this, because, and I've not gone to the medical marijuana store. Obviously, I know a lot of people have, and I feel like it's not that hard to get a prescription to walk in, and the people behind the counter don't really care what kind of doctor you saw or what you claim to have or something like that. What kind of paperwork do you run on your clients when you make a delivery to their home or business about how desperate their medical need is for weed?
So I'm really happy you asked. NestDrop is an opportunity to actually make things more accountable and more reputable. So anything you would still need in order to get it medically through the traditional means, through walking through a dispensary, you still need the same thing here through NestDrop. We just make it way quicker and a lot easier for you to be able to show that to a dispensary, because now you can show it through your phone. You can literally go in the app, upload your documentation, browse the product and place an order, in 2 or 3 minutes or less. So the patients that we're working with, the ones who are having chemotherapy, the ones who are getting, who have some sort of nerve damage or pain or whatever, those are the ones that need it to be more convenient and that need the medicine coming to them in a much easier and quicker fashion.
That's so much easier than them getting in their car and driving wherever and waiting for whatever.
Especially if they're sick. Yeah, they feel bad. How many potential customers do you think you have in your delivery area right now, Michael?
I mean, we have most of Metro LA covered, so there's millions of people in this area. And we just went live with medical marijuana on Android specifically last Saturday, and it's been going really well. We anticipate having Apple coming out within the next few weeks, we hope. They're just a lot more stringent as far as the App Store. But we can reach most of the city of Los Angeles, and we're spreading literally every week. We're getting new territories.
Fantastic. All right, last question for me, sir, and we really do appreciate you coming on. It sounds like a great idea. Is, have you had any drivers steal the supply and just keep driving to Mexico?
Good question, Bean.
Like, they're out on delivery, and they go, wait a minute, look at all this pot in my car. F this job.
Yeah, we have a cleanup crew that chases them down to Mexico and tries to bring them back in the country.
All right, guys. NestDrop is where you find them on Twitter, at NestDrop, and the website is nestdrop.com. Free app, or do we pay for it, Michael?
Free app.
There you go. All right.
Pay a thing until you actually go to get your product.
Great talking to you. Thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you, boys.
Just visit thetollroads.com or download the free mobile app for details. Nick Pagliocchini, K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Nick. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Nick Pagliocchini!
Trevor.
Hey, Sean White,
yeah,
on the couch in the Kevin and Bean office, going to be joining us in studio right after the top of the hour. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Lots to cover. Let's get right to it.
Oh, this does not sound good.
What does not sound good?
We have an update regarding Bono's condition after his bike injury. First of all, we all heard, Bono was riding his bike in Central Park, and he fell off his bike, and he hurt his arm, and oh, that Bono.
You know how that can happen.
Physical fitness, he probably got an owie. Well, it turns out it goes a little something like this. Left facial fracture involving the orbital bone of his eye.
That's right. Is that your cheek right under your...
The orbital bone is the eye socket. So he landed on his face, apparently, and fractured his face.
Oh.
Involving the orbit of his eye. His left scapula, shoulder blade, fractured in three separate pieces. Have you ever bruised your shoulder blade? You ever had a rib out just before you got to the chiropractor?
Yeah.
You know what that feels like?
Yeah.
Like somebody's got a knife in your back. Scapula fractured into three pieces.
Okay, so that's not good.
Left compound distal humerus fracture.
I don't know what any of that means.
The humerus is the bone in the upper part of the arm. You know what a compound fracture is, boys?
Yeah.
That's the one where the bone goes through the skin,
right? That's when the bone is forced and driven through the skin.
Oh, my God.
Bone was in six different pieces.
Oh, man.
Surgery Sunday evening was necessary using 18 screws to put that bone back together again.
I thought Bono was a holy man.
His elbow was damaged, had to be washed out and debrided. A nerve was trapped in the break that had to be moved when the bones were repaired. The day after all that surgery, he had to have a second surgery in his left hand to repair a fracture of his fifth metacarpal. That's your pinky finger. Three metal plates, 18 screws in total were used in the surgeries. And he's going to require, according to doctors at New York Presbyterian Hospital, intensive and progressive therapy. That's what happened there.
Is that ideal? Because I'm feeling like it's not ideal.
Well, we're still, you know, obviously, first and foremost, we wish Bono a speedy recovery.
Nope.
And it feels good. But
we wish his ass on stage on the 14th of December. That's what first and foremost we wish.
I hate to admit it, but I...
That's what first and foremost we wish.
I think Ralph's right.
Yeah, you're goddamn right I'm right.
He's got a little less than a month to recover to be well enough for that.
Whatever. I say... Hannibal Lecter him out there. Put him on one of those fridge trolleys, you know, one of those appliance movers, and just strap him in, wheel him out to the phone, to the microphone there. Set it up. Go.
Oh, wow.
Wheelchair, I don't care. Bubble wrap, what's he need? Let's make it happen. Get on it, people. Let's get a team.
Those are horrific injuries, Ralph.
It's how he got hit by a truck.
Yeah.
Wow.
Apparently, he was trying to avoid hitting another bicyclist.
We need to track down that other bicyclist and
take
his life.
At what speed were they traveling?
Yeah, no kidding.
Light?
Hey, you guys made fun of me when I was mocking 50-year-olds. If you're 50 or above and you're riding a bike, I think it's on you. So
that's a ridiculous statement.
At least admit Bono should not have been on a bike. Bono should not have been on a bike.
Of course he should be on a bike. He should exercise as much as he can. But
really, if he hadn't been on a bike, maybe he wouldn't be in the hospital right now with 18 pins in his body.
Look, he was trying to hold his bones together. His plane fell apart. Sometimes things happen.
Car accidents happen. Does that mean he shouldn't drive?
God hates Bono, apparently. That's what I'm realizing just now.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Mm. Don't you live on an island being where no one has cars?
There are a lot of people who ride bikes on the island, yeah.
Any of them over 50?
Sometimes.
Of course.
Then what are you talking about?
Don't think I don't roll down the window and yell at him.
He's talking out his
ass. Does your wife on a bike?
She does.
You ever take a bike ride with her?
No. You know why? Grown up. Adult.
Hardly.
Adult.
Hardly.
He's talking out his ass.
I'm just saying, if Bono wasn't on a bike in Central Park, he'd be on the Tonight Show tonight playing with Jimmy Fallon. That's what I'm saying, instead of laying in a hospital room somewhere.
See what Fallon did when he didn't show up on Monday?
Oh, yeah.
No. He made it all about him, as Jimmy Fallon does. He's like, well, Bono can't be here, but look, oh, he left his glasses behind and he left his hat behind. And so he gets on stage with the Roots and he does his Bono impression, and they did Desire.
Think he's available on the 14th?
Look, I know I like Jimmy Fallon a little more than you do, Ralph, but I don't understand how that's entertaining or is any kind of substitute for his audience.
It's not, and it's not even a bit. It's not a comedy bit.
Yeah.
It's just, nothing... look at me. I'm going to sing. I'm going to karaoke you two now.
He probably would have done that even with Bono there.
he would have pushed him out of the way, given him a compound fracture, and then just sang in the microphone wearing the sunglasses and the hat.
Yeah.
It was just, it bugs. It just bugs.
Feel better, Bono.
Watch Kimmel, people.
Watch Kimmel.
That's all we're saying.
Watch Kimmel. Or watch Kim Kardashian's glazed donut. That's what they're calling her oiled up ass on the cover of Paper Magazine. You know who's happy about that? Those pictures that everyone's talking about?
Who's happy?
Ray J.
Of course.
Apparently those photos have driven the sales of their sex tape through the roof. They've spiked again. This week alone, Ray J made $50,000.
Really?
From residuals on the sex tape sales.
This week?
Huge bump in sales for the Kim Kardashian Ray J sex tape this week, thanks to her glazed donut being on the cover of Paper Magazine. So, he's happy. Right? By the way, Kim Kardashian talked about those photos in an Australian morning show. She talked about it for the first time, saying it really was her balancing that champagne glass on her ass. She said, oh, my back hurt for about a week after that shoot. Shut up. Here she is explaining her reasons behind the shoot.
For me, I looked at it as this was an art project for me. This was something that was going to make me feel confident and me feel good. And it taught me to do what you want to do.
Finally, Kim Kardashian has some confidence. If anything I've been saying is this girl really has a lack of confidence.
And she doesn't ever do what she wants
she
to do.
She doesn't. She's always listening to other people doing what they tell her to do. Finally, she found an art project. You know what an art project is? Gluing macaroni onto a piece of construction paper, making a turkey for Thanksgiving. That's an art project. Showing your oiled up ass to the world is pretty good, actually.
It was pretty good.
Keep doing it.
Let's be honest.
You don't think I feel bad?
No. Nope. Again, I'm out of time. More stories out of time. Real quickly, Sexiest Man Alive, People Magazine. They announced the winner on Jimmy Kimmel Show last night.
Jimmy Kimmel?
It was Jimmy
Kimmel. I know.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
That's right, Kevin Ryder. He was the sexiest man alive.
Jimmy, when you did that scene, it was amazing. How do you feel when you do that?
Just act.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah.
And then that lady called in. How do you do that? What do you think? What do you prepare for? I just do what I do. I'm an actor.
Yeah.
Poor Jimmy. He wasn't happy.
Kurt, you're amazing. The best show. Oh, la, la, la.
I sounded like Jiminy Glick that much?
A little bit. Oh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Talk show host Larry King.
I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Yes, sure. You're 81 years old. You're an 81-year-old professional, Larry King. Allison Janney is 55. Matt Sorum of Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver is 54 years old. Jodie Foster, Oscar-winning actress, 52. And Jeremy McGrath, he rides motorcycles really goodly.
That he does.
He is 43 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Sean White turns out to be brilliant. How about that? We just got played, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, it's been about a month since Mr. White stopped by. Of course, he is he's the best athlete we personally know with all those gold medals at the X Games and the Winter X Games and the Olympic medals that you've won. Sean, welcome back to K-Rock, my friend. How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good.
You were just telling us, right as the song was running out, producer Dave was asking you about these Bono injuries. You must mm-hmm. Have you ever been seriously hurt to the point where you had broken bones and screws in your arm and things like that?
I've seen some things and had some experiences myself, but that sounds pretty brutal. I was trying to picture what he must have been doing.
Yeah,
that's
so
not
we.
Just a wheelie. That's like you
it
know
sounds like
I mean?
A head-on collision is what it sounds like.
There must have been some stairs involved or something.
Oh, you think like he went downstairs and lost it?
Yeah,
and
or
just went
tumbled down.
They're saying there's another bicyclist, but
oh, okay.
That he was trying to avoid.
Uh huh.
But that, I mean, that's what I would say.
It's substantial injuries. I mean, he had
a bone in his upper arm that shattered in six different places and went through the skin.
Yeah, the compound is that's aggressive.
That's ever happened to you?
That's aggressive.
That's
no.
Never happened.
No, I'm looking for something. Just
knock on Kevin's head.
That's what we use for wood in the studio. We're not hoping that for you at all.
Of course.
Well, the reason Sean is here, and you were in about a month ago when you made you came in just ahead of the big announcement, the press conference you did out at the Rose Bowl about the Air and Style Festival mm-hmm. that is coming to Southern California. And tickets are on sale for this now. It is February 21st and 22nd at the Rose Bowl. For folks who may not have been with us last month, there is a little bit of a history with this event, and this isn't the only place they have it. Just give us the quick overview, and then we got a lot of specifics for you.
Yeah, of course. The event started about 20 years ago in Austria, and it's a big air snowboard jump. But more than that, it was a music event as well as an art showing and all these kinds. It's kind of like a youth culture gathering. And I was a competitor when I was 15. The event grew. I became a host of the event in Beijing in China, and now I'm the owner of the event, and my first plan of action was to bring it to Los Angeles in the United States for the first time. And
you're officially a suit.
Yeah, I like to consider myself a curator.
Yeah,
of fun.
You're
times.
A suit. You're the
Says
man.
That on my
are you people? Mr. White to anybody?
I am, yeah.
Mr. White.
I felt official.
That's weird.
I felt like either Walter White from Breaking Bad or Mr. White in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Or no, wait. Is it? Pulp Fiction?
No, Reservoir
Dogs. I'm sorry.
Reservoir Dogs. That's where they all the colors live. And tell us again why you chose the Rose Bowl, because it seems like for any kind of event's first foray into a new marketplace, you don't pick the single biggest venue available.
I know there was.
You want me to get
pardon
that?
Me.
This phone's going off.
No, that was actually one of the main places I wanted to pick, just because I've been there before. I'd been to the U2 concert there. I'd been to sporting events, all these things. It's such a legendary place, and I figured this was the only place that could house this massive ramp that we're building. It's 16 stories tall. It's just this is monstrous thing that we're doing.
Do you find snowboarders scared of it? Are there some that just won't do it?
No.
They all are fine.
They're all into it, yeah.
There's nobody that goes, hey, I'll kill myself.
There's a lineup of people trying to do it.
That's crazy.
They want to get in on it. So it's pretty awesome. But we were only announcing the athletes that were coming. We had Sage, who won the Olympics. Sage Kotzenberg. Ugh, I can never pronounce his name. Bobby Brown, some skiers. We had all these guys, but now we finally have the music lineup. So,
and the musical lineup is unbelievable. How much does this parallel your taste, Sean? Does this have your fingerprints all over it?
Yeah, I mean, I had basically my wish list of bands, and you know that was a pretty large list. And then we broke it down from there of like who was available, who wasn't actually in the studio, you know, who needed to do shows that was on tour. I mean, and who we could afford, and all of that into one thing. But I pretty much started hitting up my friends first. I mean, Steve Aoki was one of the big names we landed right off the bat,
And he said yes automatically.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, It took a little bit of, massaging schedules and things and figuring out if he could be available. But he basically he's a huge sport fan. He loves snowboarding. I've run into him plenty of times, and he kind of fits the demographic.
He sort of rules the world, doesn't he?
He's incredible.
He just,
yeah,
like jets around the world. I follow him on Instagram.
Hitting people in the face with cakes and like.
That's his deal. Like, how does that become your deal?
Yeah, yeah.
So weird.
And obviously, you know, I'm super good friends with Fanagram, and I've seen the Black Lips play. They're local artists. I mean, it's really a collection of all these things. And Kendrick Lamar was pretty much one of
that's
my
huge
favorites
that's huge
through.
And you're getting him at the, I mean, he's already popular, but he is getting ready to blow up so big with this new record.
Did
that's
you
coming
see
out
his
too.
SNL it was pretty
yes.
yeah it was yeah. incredible.
He's amazing.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's amazing. You must have just been so relieved when Steve Aoki said yes, because I mean, he's the kind of artist who brings out the people, who throws a great party, and he's a centerpiece type artist. He's somebody that you can build a show around. If you've already got Steve Aoki, you almost can't go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that was great. And then we landed Diplo right after that. So I was like, okay, that's all right. This is incredible lineup.
Fantastic.
My favorite thing on the I try not to go online and look at the comments, but I can't help myself.
Yeah. You suck!
And no, this was my – yeah, well, yeah, totally. It's self-punishment sometimes. But so I go online, and I'm like looking at it, and this one headline caught my eye, and it was like, have you seen the lineup for Aaron Style? Does this mean that Coachella's going to suck this year? And I was like, yes!
Well, musical performers include Kendrick Lamar, Steve Aoki, Diplo, Edward Sharp and the Magnetic Zeros, who we play here on K-Rock, Fantagram, play here on K-Rock, Portugal the Man, same thing, Sleigh Bells, who are awesome, the Black awesome. Lips, Cult, Surfer Blood, a little band called Bad Things, unfamiliar with them, I bet they're good. Mm-hmm. that's Sean's band. Tickets are on sale now for February 21st and 22nd at the Rose Bowl. Where do we go for tickets? Just through Ticketmaster?
Yes, Ticketmaster, or you can go to air-style.com for more information.
Go to air-style.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's my suggestion.
Yeah,
Sean
sure.
White is our guest. We'll be back with more right after this on the World Famous K-Rock. Sean White in studio with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show, professional snowboarder and skateboarder and the man behind Air and Style, which is coming to the Rose Bowl February 21st and 22nd. Tickets are on sale now through Ticketmaster. What?
Can you
did it
buy
sound
the,
like what I thought I
can
said?
Can you buy the T-word? Can you buy those?
Did it come out like
yes,
that?
Yes, it did.
You can go to air-style.com on Twitter, at Aaron Style. We talked about some of the professional athletes that you're going to have there. We talked a little bit about the music. There's also a fashion element to this, Sean. What's that about, man?
Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy. The world of snowboarding and these kind of action sports, it's so you know, up to interpretation. I mean, when you go out there and do your tricks, they're ones that you've created. You had to, like, take your personal twist on what's going on in the sport and then invent your own style. And that kind of goes into the music you listen to, what you wear. And so I felt only, you know, fitting that we have some sort of fashion component, whether that's a runway show or whether that's, you know, local, you know, artists or people kind of displaying their work. I mean, we haven't fully fleshed that out yet. And then we're hoping to have like a technology area, you know, GoPro cameras, these things that you help, you know, record your live and, you know, tricks that you're doing, these things. And then there's a whole area that's like dedicated to just family. An introduction to the sport, like learn to ride.
Oh, you're building a city, basically, is what you're doing.
We're trying to, you know, say it's almost like if I was throwing a big party, what would be the, you know what I mean? Like, what would be those key elements? And the thing that was amazing is I'm from California. I think people forget that. They think I'm from Vermont or something like that, where it's really cold, or Colorado. But I would go to Big Bear and I would snowboard. And so we're having a bunch of instructors from Big Bear Snow Summit come down, teach people how to ride, whole areas where you could bring your kids and everybody's having a good, you know, and I'm sure that's going to be a crossover of adults. Everybody wanted to try this out. But yeah. I thought it was so important to introduce the sport to people in the right way. And then later that night, show them what's really possible, you know, show them what people are really doing in the sport and how far it's gone from the beginner point all the way to the professional.
It's good that they're learning on the small scale, though, because that can hurt. That first time you're on a snowboard, really, it's been forever for you. You probably don't even remember it.
Yeah. Well, do you? I kind of.
I mean.
Yeah, a little bit. I just remember going really fast and being like, oh, it's great.
You know, but I was on my ass a lot.
Yeah.
And it hurt.
But that's that scenario where, like, you know, you hear people get introduced to the sport in the wrong way, and they're like, yeah, I was all alone, and it was freezing, and
I was going to die.
Yeah, I broke my hand, and you're like, geez, like, horrible friends of yours, you know? And, you know, you're less likely to continue on in the sport if that's your introduction. So I think it's only fitting to really have the right setup for people to try it out and have a good experience.
How long has your band Bad Things been together now, Sean?
Gosh, I mean, the original members of the group is probably 5 years, but we've probably been with Warner Brothers for about 2 years or so now.
And you love it.
I do. It's
incredible. I know how seriously you take it.
I do. I mean, yeah, that's been my days. I wake up super early. I do meetings, do all these things, and then we have like a lockout in Eagle Rock, and we just go write new music and do these things. We're working on an EP right now, but it's been a process of like actually. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, oh, yeah, we're going to do this. And then there's another thing of, like, actually stepping on stage before.
Right.
We were with 30 Seconds to Mars touring Europe. And, I mean, they're playing for thousands of people every night. And our first show was, like, 9,000-10,000 people. I'm like, oh, God. Like,
yeah, a little scary.
All right, here we go.
Maybe started smaller.
I said it. Here we are, you know. But
let me ask you this question, Sean, and forgive me if I've asked you this before, but was there an adjustment for you to have to deal in a group dynamic where you are a voice of many rather than be able to call your own shots as a solo performer, as an athlete?
Yeah, I mean, it's my favorite and least favorite thing about it. It's, you know, it actually gave me appreciation for my sporting life or career, you know, because if I want to wake up at 6 a.m. and like do the workout and be at the mountain and do the athletic thing, I can. But it's like when you got the band, it's like this guy sleeps till 3 p.m. and that guy's he's got a new girlfriend. He's off to do, you know, everybody's got their thing going. But, you know, once everybody gets together, there's that real collaborative sort of group effort that goes on. And I remember being on tour was by far my favorite because you would show up as a group. You go out on stage as a group. You're together. You're traveling together. It's this whole kind of camaraderie that I didn't really find in the other side of things with the sports.
Do you feel a little bit more pressure to be great at this because you're great at that? Because you're so good at sports and you've had so much success?
I mean, I don't think there's any more pressure that I could feel that I don't put on myself already. You know what I mean? I really go out there and go, okay, well, if it was good, it needs to be great. If it was great, it should be incredible. I mean, every single time I'm trying to one-up it in the sense, but I think that just comes naturally to me. And I know from talking with the guys, that's been you know, without putting words in their mouths, and inspiring to them because they're like, oh, yeah, it's good enough. I'm like, but is it? Is it really? You know, we're going to get the extra hard listen sometimes because I'm in the group. And, you know, the whole idea of doing the first album wasn't really to sell a bunch of albums. It was to get people comfortable with the idea of me playing music. Because especially in the U.S., people are used to seeing somebody doing one thing, and then it's very jarring to see them do something else. And in the past, people have slightly been not cheated by it, but like,
you know, there's a lot of doubt.
Not a genuine thing going on before, and you're like, oh, I don't know if is Eddie Murphy really gonna sing my jams? Right? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, is so and so gonna? Yeah, you don't really. I think people have been kind of, you know, mixed feelings in the past, and so nowadays it's that's what's so great about Aaron's style. To be honest, is there is no lines. I mean, there's hip hop artists wearing leather jackets. Everybody's kind of like melting into this big crossover between things, and I don't know. I don't really see the boundaries anymore between being an artist or being an athlete or being a musician. I mean, all those things kind
of. It's easy to say when you're good at all of them, by the way, Sean. Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, it's funny, and I know we're almost out of time here, and I want to again urge people to go to air-style.com for all the information on Twitter at Sean Weider at Air and Style. Buy your tickets. Mm-hmm. Go see this event in February at the Rose Bowl. You mentioned 30 Seconds to Mars. Look how long it took. Because Jared Leto was in that band, for people to accept that band as a real thing. I mean, he basically had to walk away from acting for years mm-hmm. to get people to wake up and go, oh, you're serious about this music and you're good at it.
Well, I was laughing with them on tour because I was like, man, you're the lead singer. That's hard. I can't even imagine. I'm just the guy doing the like leads in the back. I mean, being the front man and being it all about you in a way, I mean, that's even harder to overcome, I would imagine. So,
all right, last question for you, Sean, before we go, and that is hoverboard.
Go on.
It's all anybody's talking about. Tony Hawk made the comedy video, the fake video with the hoverboard, but now it seems like there's a real hoverboard thing. Do you know anything about it? Have you played with it?
I heard something about it. I always kind of get the, like, you know what I mean? You get that email that's like, oh, hey, we got this new thing you need to check out. And you're like, oh, I really need to check that out.
But you have to be intrigued by the concept of a hoverboard. Like, I can't imagine you don't want to get on one.
No, I'm curious. I mean, it'd be more of like a interesting means of transport rather than like, I want to do tricks on this. The whole idea of like floating on water, I think, was the real turn on about
but
the hoverboard.
You also probably doubt that really works that well yet. I'd like the second or third generation. That's
like I'm waiting for the software to get.
That's probably wise, I think.
Yeah.
All right. At Aaron Style or air-style.com. Sean, always great to catch up with you, man. Good luck with the festival. I'm sure we'll talk to you again as we get closer, but thanks so much for coming in.
All right. Thank you, guys.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
Got to talk about Kevin's appearance on the TV last night as the host of Anarchy Afterward, right after Sons of Anarchy on FX last night. Our boy in big boy clothes making his live nationwide TV debut last night. We'll cover that for you next half hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Spoiler alert, he did great, by the way.
Yeah.
Hey, I never thought I'd say these words, but please welcome Brooke Shields to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Ms. Shields. How are you?
Hi, Kevin and Bean.
I can't believe in all the years we've been doing this and all the years you've been doing that, I don't believe we've ever spoken with you on the program before.
I had to earn it. I had to earn it. And I know that, and I was willing to put in the time to finally get here. Thank you.
Brooke has a brand new book out called There Was a Little Girl, The Real Story of My Mother and Me. It's her latest book. It's available wherever books are sold. And you can see her at Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles tomorrow night starting at 7 o'clock. She'll be signing copies of the new book. You had quite a relationship with your mom, much of which was public because of your celebrity. Is this a book that you couldn't have written while she was still alive, you think?
I couldn't have. I think the monumental like loss of a parent is, you know, it sets your life on a different trajectory. And I needed that to happen before I could even reexamine some of it.
Were there some things that you didn't want to talk about publicly while she was still alive just because you thought it would be embarrassing or hurtful to her?
No, I mean, she would love anything I said about her because she would say, yep, that's it, that's me. So that wasn't it. You know, I didn't think people care, to be honest. It was really like, oh, now Brooke's going to talk about her mom and write a book about her, and who cares, you know? And then this sort of weird thing happened where I realized she was still registering in people's, like, consciousness, and I thought, okay, I will tell my version of it.
Well, you do talk about in the beginning of the book how kind of one of the things that that got you thinking about writing down your version of the story is the way her death was handled in the press, including places like the New York Times, where you felt like they just didn't understand her. They felt like they looked at her through the prism of your career and kind of did a hatchet job on her after she was gone. You kind of wanted to set the record straight, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, it was also not about any yes, it was about that obituary, but it wasn't an attack on the paper as much as it was sort of this kind of question, like, why is it okay? Why is it okay and so accepted for us to just be able to be really negative about people and be okay with it? And was anybody interested in what I really felt about it and what my life was? And what are we in our society where we can't let a daughter mourn a mother? You know, it's like, and it wasn't about, I didn't write this book to put her on a pedestal, by no means. I wrote it to sort of say, hey, listen, we all have moms, no matter what the relationship is. And they're complicated, and this was my version of mine.
It also seems like we're very much a society of us, and that's the little people, and then you, the actors, aren't really as real to some people. Don't really take you as a human being as much as a celebrity.
Oh, you know, and I think, well, that is partially true, and it's also partially we don't want that. You know, we want to have our own versions of people, and we want them intact because it helps us see ourselves differently. But it's why we're so obsessed with, you know, moment-to-moment tweeting of what we are really doing in our lives, and then we create that, and we only choose the good pictures, and you know, it's all a really different world, and it is scary to me.
Yeah. This is the voice of actress Brooke Shields here on the Kevin Beach. We're talking about her new book called There Was a Little Girl. You've been in show business since before you were 1 year old, Brooke, and I remember at the time there was a lot of controversy about some of the early roles you had as you were 11, 12, 13 years old, and a lot of people put that on your mom as being a stage mom who was pushing you out there, prostituting you to make money and everything like that. Do you fight back at that perception a little bit in this book?
Well, when I was 11 months old, I was in it for the cold, hard cash. Let's call it, all right? I knew what I was doing. You know, we didn't make kind of decisions that had to do with how this decision is going to affect that and affect this and affect. It just was, you know, were we going to have fun? Were we going to work with people we wanted to work with? Were we going to have an exciting experience? I mean, it really, you shouldn't set out. She didn't have that kind of foresight. I mean, you know, she also had really good taste, in my opinion. And, you know, Louis Malle was nothing to sort of scoff at as an artist and as a European artist. And whether it's that or Calvin Klein, you know, these brilliant ads that were written by Diane Arbus's daughter, or she wrote the copy. You know, I mean, these were things that we made choices because of the quality of that. There were other not great choices. You know?
What's your earliest memory of being in showbiz, since you started before you could actually remember?
You know, I remember modeling my friends, these kids. We'd go to the zoo, we'd go to Jamaica, we'd go to all these, like, fun, we'd go to the amusement parks. And, you know, two of the girls I used to model with, the Fitzpatrick twins, they showed up at my book event the other night, and we'd known each other our whole lives, and it's sort of... We had a lot of fun back in those days. Modeling was different, and it was definitely different for children.
Do you still have a lot of fun as an actress? You're still showing up on shows all the time, and you're still trying to sell me a Lazy Boy during football every Sunday.
And I'm trying to make you laugh. That's what I want to do. I'm trying to make people smile. I will never retire. I love what I do. I love navigating it all and hopefully creating new opportunities. And this book was this particular part of my career. I went to where the water was warm, you know. It wasn't as if I said, oh, I'm going to try every medium. No, like, movies didn't want me, so I went to TV. TV got tired of me. I was at Broadway. You know, it was, and that's what this book is about, too. It's about, like, the ridiculousness of all of it. And it's a funny book. It's funny sometimes living with an alcoholic, even though it's tragic.
I there were some relationships that you write about in the book that I certainly was aware of, obviously, you know, very public relationships like Andre Agassi, for instance. I didn't know about Liam Neeson, though, and I think a lot of ladies in particular would want me to ask you, how does Liam Neeson ask you to marry him and you say no? He's that guy.
No, I said yes. Oh, I said yes. I didn't say no. Are you kidding?
I thought you said no, but you...
He's an Irish, poetic movie star. Like, I was... I don't know what I was drinking that day, probably Grigio, but you know, it was a larger than life thing, and it's those moments that you sort of go, yeah, it was a really long 3 month relationship, so let's not lose sight of that.
But the best 3 months of your life, though, Brooke.
It was pretty intense.
It's a particular set of skills, you know.
these are things that I talk about these guys. They all know about it, too. It's not like I didn't tell them ahead of time. But my mother was involved in these relationships, whether she was present, whether she was drinking with us, whether she was just in my consciousness. And that kind of codependence colored my life, you know, and it became really hard to disengage or, you know, sort of, I don't think it's the right word, but de-mesh myself with her. And then with whether it was guys I was dating or what, you know, she was a presence in my life.
How often, and I know we're almost out of time here. Again, we're talking to Brooke Shields. You can meet her at the Book Soup on Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles tomorrow night at 7. She'll be signing copies of her new book called An Evening with Brooke Shields. How often do you think of your mother now as a mother and try to do things differently or try to do things the way she did?
It's strange. Beyond talking about her every day in the press, there are little things every day, and they're either trying to maintain the humor, trying to maintain the silliness and the sort of, or I'm saying, you know, look that person in the eye, say thank you to them, say thank you to the bus driver, say, you know, these things that with my mom would just sort of, she was like a record in my head. And, you know, when I drink around my kids, I'm more hypersensitive to making sure they don't feel like I'm leaving them.
Right.
So there's good and there's bad. You take all of it, but basically she's still my mom.
Right. Well, it sounds, you know, it's funny. Your relationship sounds so complicated, but, you know, to Kevin's point about how celebrities are just like us, I guess all of our relationships with our parents are complicated.
They really are. It's like, it's really weird. We try to run away from or run towards. Like, we all have these people. They are our mothers and we came from them. And so it's like, yeah, mine's played out, but maybe mine was on People magazine cover or something, but those same dramas and beautiful moments and tragic moments are played out for all of us. And I was hoping that someone said that today, like about the book, like you kind of can read into it and go, oh, well, I didn't have that, but I had this, and this is very similar.
There Was a Little Girl, The Real Story of My Mother and Me is the latest book from Brooke Shields, and it's available wherever books are sold. Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to Kevin and Bean Show. It's 8:57.
Adam Carolla, This Week in Rage, coming up right at the top of the hour. First, though, Adam's former roommate, Ralph Garman, is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat on a Wednesday.
Why are we blaming Bill Cosby?
He's not going to say
That's what I'm guessing.
He's not
going to
say that.
Hey, everybody's so weak these days.
He's not going to say that.
What's wrong with a little, come here, mama, give it up.
It's not going to happen.
That's what's going to happen.
It's not.
Speaking of Bill Cosby, what?
Yeah.
Right? Shut the front door.
This story just seems to be getting uglier and uglier by the minute.
More and more women coming forward saying, yes, Bill Cosby also sexually assaulted me. Now, it's another celebrity, in quotes, Janice Dickinson. I guess she's famous enough. She is the world's first supermodel, by the way.
Just ask her. She told us on many occasions. That's what was right. she on the...
America's Next Top Model.
Yeah, she was also on the
She was also on the Trump show. Yeah, The Apprentice. Right.
She claimed last night on Entertainment Tonight that Bill Cosby sexually assaulted her in a 1982 hotel meeting. Here, I'll let her tell the story.
In 1982, I was on a job in Bali, in Indonesia. And he called, and the conversation was, the best of my recollection, you need to get to Lake Tahoe because I'll be performing there, and I want to offer you that job we talked about, as well as helping you with a singing career I hear you're trying to do. When I arrived in Lake Tahoe, Bill was performing at the venue, and then after dinner, in my room, he had given me wine and a pill. The next morning, I woke up, and I wasn't wearing my pajamas, and I remember before I passed out that I had been sexually assaulted by this man.
Claims the last thing she remembers was Cosby getting on top of her. She said they never spoke about the incident, and she's coming forward now because she believes it's the right thing to do and because she claims her story is true.
There is safety in numbers, I think, if you're making an accusation like
too.
That.
I think one woman coming forward gives courage to the next woman and so on and right. so on. So
well,
it's,
what a tragic story if they're all true, you know?
Well, like Bean mentioned last time we talked about this, accounts are coming out from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. This guy's if this is true, he's been a serial rapist for as long as he's been in the public eye.
Yeah,
it's stunning that it could be allowed to go on. So,
and it puts all of us in an awkward position. In what do we do with Bill Cosby now?
He's never
shun him.
He's never been officially
never been charged, much less convicted of anything.
Netflix.
We don't know if he. Don't know if he did it, but we don't know if he didn't.
Netflix was supposed to air his next comedy special, Bill Cosby 77, on Thanksgiving Day.
Well, that's an easy call.
They have announced that they will not air it. They will postpone its release. For how long? No one's saying. It may never air.
But they're replacing it with a Stephen Collins special from Seventh Heaven.
That was
a surprise.
I thought
not happening at all.
Here's the wine and the pill. This will help with your singing career. Just take it, Mr. Seven Dwarfson.
Maybe he said what he was going to do and no one understood.
could have been.
Think about that?
I am going to drink and wear my pants off.
I didn't hear you, Bill, but yeah, whatever.
Just give me that pill and that wine, please.
By the way, here's something else we haven't talked about in reference to Bill Cosby. His wife is still with him through all of this. Haven't heard a peep out of her. What's going on? What's pillow talk like for those two these days?
I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Or is she taking so many pills she doesn't hear anything?
Oh, man.
Wow. See, way to
already?
Make it worse.
See what you're doing?
Worse.
I realized last hour I forgot to mention that Chris Hemsworth is the sexiest man alive. We started talking about it on People Magazine and Jimmy Kimmel's show, and then it spun off into Kevin Ryder chat, and then we just kept going. We never mentioned that.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
Chris Hemsworth is the winner of the Sexiest Man Alive People Magazine cover, so congratulations. You can pull out your hammer now. Chris Hemsworth. Bruce Springsteen doesn't think we have enough of his music. So he is dumping an S-load on it on our heads right now.
What do you mean?
As if there's not enough. First of all, there's plenty of Bruce Springsteen music. And I'm a fan. But enough is enough already. We got every album remastered three times over.
I see.
And all the bootlegs and all the live albums and the video. Yeah, well, we got it. We understand, Bruce.
So what's he putting out now? A new album?
Well, now there's a website called live.brucespringsteen.net, which has just dozens now of live albums and songs and concert tours, and just everything he's ever done can be downloaded on that website now.
But how is that not awesome, Ralph?
Because enough!
But
enough!
You know the thing about Springsteen, and you covered this with Tom Morello the last time you had him on, Kevin, is that they have a set list of hundreds of songs that they choose from. No two shows are the same. He plays plays songs completely different versions from night to night. Springsteen fans now have the opportunity to own all that stuff.
Okay.
I think it's great.
All right. How many versions of Rosalita do you need? How many versions of Born to Run do you have to listen to?
So I can put you down for one?
It's there if you want it. Look, and it also...
Springsteen fans, like Bean, this nerd, they're just all completists, too. They have to hear every goddamn thing he's ever played. If anyone had an iPhone out and recording it, they want to hear that guy's iPhone recording. Everything has to be heard, right, Bean?
Let me suggest this to you as well. Springsteen is also following in the footsteps of people like Fish and Dave Matthews and Pearl Jam and others who say, look, there's no money in record sales anymore, but our fans will buy copies of these shows.
They'll buy anything.
So
that's
why
what
not make them available
say.
For people who want them? If there was a great show in Wichita last night, you could own it.
I farted once in my restroom, and little Steve had a little pocket tape recorder going, and he recorded my fart. So now for $12.99, you can download it at fart.brucespringsteen.net. Enough with all the Springsteen bootlegs and live recordings that we got.
But no
we
one
understand.
Who
he
doesn't
plays a lot
want
of music.
It has to buy it.
Oh,
it's there for people who do. It's a win-win.
And now we got his cover songs. You want to hear Bruce Springsteen do Lords, Royals?
Yes.
No, you don't.
From the Australia tour. Yes, I do. No. Now I can own it.
That's from the Australia tour. Shut up. Here's a little taste of this stupid thing you can buy.
And every song's like gold teeth, Grey Goose tripping in the bathroom, bloodstains, ball gowns, trash in the hotel room. I don't care. Baby, I don't care. Everybody's like crystal made black diamonds on your timepiece. Jet planes, islands, tiger on a golden leash. I don't care. I'm not caught up in your love affair. I'll never be royal. Don't run in our blood. That kind just ain't for us. I crave a different kind of love.
I need to have that. Oh, let me download that.
Imagine being 18 years old and having Springsteen sing your song, though.
That would be pretty cool.
That's kind of crazy.
Even if it was a much inferior version of your song that you did so much better, Lord.
And then the next night, they're in New Zealand, and they come out, and it's completely Jesus. Different.
I mean, come on.
Little Steve on the trombone. Max Weinberg on the goat.
I don't know why they're playing in a pasture, but totally different than the night before.
Squeezing really hard. Today's celebrity birthdays, Larry King's 81, Allison Janney's 55, Matt Sorum of Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver's 54, Jodie Foster's 52, and Jeremy McGrath, the motorcycle legend, 43. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Let me ask you this question there, Kevin.
Yep.
If you were coming to Seattle for the weekend.
Right.
Would you give the brother a call? Would you reach out? Would you, hey, Bean, what's up? I'm in town. Let's get together. Anything like that?
No.
Okay. Because... You and our next guest, Adam Carolla, have a lot in common. Hey, Ace Man, how are your plans coming to Seattle this weekend looking?
Well, Bean, you know I love you, and I know you know I love visiting the wife and pigs.
Uh-huh.
When I come by. I am driving from Portland on Saturday morning. I'm doing a Mangria signing at a BevMo when I get to Seattle, and then I'm doing two sold-out shows that night.
Adam, if you were there for 2 weeks, Bean would not see you. That's why I wouldn't call him. He doesn't leave his house.
Bean, you should come on the podcast. A big sold-out theater, tons of fun.
He'll be there. Done.
I don't want to drag down what
he'll
will otherwise
be, there.
Be an excellent
Congratulations,
show.
Bean. That's going to be a great podcast.
Well, listen, have fun enjoying Seattle without me, Adam. I appreciate that. Adam's going to be on stage in Southern California. You got two big chances coming up to see him at the Grove of Anaheim on Thursday, December the 11th at 8. And then you can go the next night to the Canyon Club in Agoura Hills. That's on the 12th at 9. Tickets available at adamcarolla.com. Hey, speaking of the Ace Man, it's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
I just want to preface this by saying I am in love with the three ideas you're about to hear.
Okay, really?
In love.
Wait, you like your ideas?
Usually I'm, you know, tumescent, but I'm physically dry humping these ideas.
Okay.
They're that good.
All right.
Number one, I was in Vegas last weekend. I landed at the airport with my wife. I got the world's fattest cab driver. We jumped into his Scion S-Box, and he had his seat in almost full recline. You know the cab driver whose seat is fully reclined?
Yeah.
Like there's some sort of city worker taking a nap or something in a municipal vehicle? And I said to the guy three times, hey, lean the seat up. But, of course, he was a Croatian guy, so he gave me, yes, it's good, you like. And I said, no, I don't like. My balls are not receiving blood right now because I sat behind the guy and his seat was, if you're a cab driver, don't drive in a reclined position. As a matter of fact, if you own a cab company, put a pin in the side of the seat so they can't get back past 95 degrees or whatever it is. It's going to eliminate a lot of issues. Napping in the car, driving whilst reclined, which is unsafe, receiving oral sex from a customer for payment, and it's going to solve a lot of problems. But either way, then we landed back in Burbank, and I valeted my car, and of course, all the valets are midgets. So all the cab drivers are giants and the valets are midgets. And then when I go to get my car, I can't get my car because the seat slid all the way up. And then I had an epiphany. I thought all these guys do is jump in and out of cars, drive around, and take tips. Let's swap them out. Let's make all the cab drivers valets and all the valets cab drivers. We'll get plenty of knee room in the back of the cab, and the seat won't be pushed up past the steering wheel when we pick the car up at the valet.
You're making insanely good sense.
Great, right, for all the guys over 6 foot out there?
Yep. There you go. You nailed it.
All right. You didn't think I could do better? I'm now hitting it out of the ballpark with this one.
All right.
All this talk. What do we do about ISIS? What do we do? Do we put boots on the ground? Nobody wants another war over there. Yeah, but if we don't go over there, they're going to bring it over here. They're beheading cameramen and AIDS workers. What do we do? Well, we can't put it. If there's going to be another war, we can't win. We don't have the money for it. We don't have the money for our own school system. How are we going to put another? They say it's going to be 80,000 boots on the ground. All right, I got this all. It's all worked out. It's done. I watched one of my many Holocaust documentaries the other night, and I thought, damn, those Germans, they really got away with a lot, you know, putting everyone in carts and burning them up and, you know, railroad cars and all that stuff. I said, you know who should be fighting us? Somebody should say to Germany, you owe us. You got a tab running. You got off easy for World War II. Think about what they did in World War II, and, you know, 20 minutes later, they were selling us BMWs and Audis. Someone needs to say to Germany, hey, you guys are in the neighborhood, generally. You got a bunch of money. You got a good military. You're well-funded. You sure have nice equipment. Now get it together. And as a matter of fact, I'll go down the list. Italy, you're next. Japan, you're next. All you F-ups from World War II that came up with baton death marches and ovens to burn Jews and tried to take over the world, well, guess who owes up? Guess who's got to settle up their bar tab now?
So we go to them 70 years later and say, payback time, bitch.
Hey, it's time to pay a fiddler. Honestly, think about it. Why are we doing it again? Why can't us in Canada just put our feet up on this one and relax and send the guys who did all the damage, who, by the way, have money, have equipment, have a military, and aren't that far away from where ISIS is, go get them. Get on the train.
I don't see any problem with forcing a sovereign nation to go to war against their will. Honestly, I don't see any difficulty with that.
I think if you showed most Americans one Holocaust documentary, they'd go, you know what?
Yeah.
Let those bastards off way too easy. Let them go take care of ISIS. All right, and number one, speaking of ISIS, they're beheading everybody. That's their big deal over there. And it's always so sad because it's always a journalist or it's some guy over there who's trying to do aid work and he gets beheaded. And you just think, God, first off, it's horrible. But then you think, you know, there's a lot of people over here. I wouldn't mind being beheaded. They're just beheading the wrong guys. They're beheading the good guys. They're beheading the heroes, the people sent over there to work, or the photographers, or the journalists. How about, like, you heard the story, Charles Manson just got married, right?
Yeah, that happened.
Gates, right, yeah.
All right, he could be beheaded. We'd be cool with that, right? What I'm saying is what if we gathered up a group of people to be beheaded and sent them over to ISIS?
Well, I don't think they're interested necessarily in working with us.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know international relations.
I don't.
You don't know terrorism. You don't know anything. So just pipe down.
Okay,
I think they're picking victims that they think will hurt us, not victims that will make us happy if we lose them.
Well, we're going to swap out one white guy for another blue-eyed devil. Really? They love beheading. We'll send them some people to behead. They'll be satiated. They'll have fun with the video. We'll feel good. And it'll be a nice reminder to mind your P's and Q's when you're stateside. We'll get Manson. The first shipload is going to be Manson, that Vandersloot kid.
Right.
And that DJ with the giant mouse head.
Dead mouse. You're going to send him over there to be the head?
That'd be funny, right? With the giant mouse head. I hate that kind of music anyway, but so it'd be funny, but we'd also get rid of a lot of that music, you know?
Well, you're taking on the big issues this time around, so good luck with your world domination. Hey, listen, Catch a Contractor. Adam's TV show airs Sunday nights at 10 on Spike TV, and you can see him on stage at the Grove of Anaheim December 11th and the Canyon Club at Agoura Hills on the 12th. Go to adamcarolla.com. Ace Man, see you this weekend, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Wish we had time to do this, but we're out of time. We're
running really late.
We certainly do.
We're running really late.
Standing ooh!
Now, Ralph, do we, I don't think we owe Kevin an apology, do we?
No.
I don't think we owe an apology. We were warning him. We advised him not to do it.
I think we owe Kevin an apology.
Because we predicted all kinds of doom and gloom, and we said he was ill-prepared and didn't have the tools for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then he shows up last night on Anarchy Afterward and just...
Like a boss.
And just nails it.
It wasn't like a boss.
Just nails
it. Was.
It.
It was like a boss.
You guys
crushed
are nice.
It. Knocked the cover off the ball.
We're in the parlance of baseball. Got to play some highlights of the Anarchy Afterward appearance with Kevin, hosting a live nationwide TV show. Who dressed you, by the way, Kevin? I don't think I asked you that. Like, who picked that out?
I did.
Sinbad.
I did. I just grabbed whatever dress shirts I had. They said bring some options, so I brought some options. The first
that
one,
sure looked brand new. That
had
never been washed, man.
Please, how often? Do you
I
think
thought
I
it was one of those plywood cutouts that you just stick your head through when you take a photograph. I thought it was like a cutout of a guy in a shirt, and you just put your head through it the whole time.
That's just because I didn't move because I was scared.
You looked a little stiff. You looked so uncomfortable sitting there and sitting up like a big boy and talking to grown-ups. It wasn't the Kevin that we know and love, but you did a great job, and here's how the program
began. That's
why you
did a great job. It wasn't the Kevin we know and love at all. It was like a professional broadcaster.
A lot of our listeners are very impressed with Kevin on TV last night.
But
very
don't you
disappointed.
Think it's
very
just,
disappointed there were no moments with.
Don't you think it's just because they know how short bus I am that I didn't completely destroy it?
No, I thought you did a really good job.
You did?
You kept the conversation going. You asked questions I think fans of the show would want answered.
Look,
for the
I
most
am...
part. And and you actually took some phone calls, you read some tweets, and it was a very professional,
very professional
journeyman-like job.
Here's how the show began, and this is the part that just cracked me up in the... Hey, I got this, Muggs. This is the part that cracked me up in the very first second that the broadcast was on the air.
And now, Kevin Ryder.
I'm just saying here, that guy with the Sons of Anarchy voice doing your voice, your name was pretty darn cool.
Yeah.
It is, until then I go, hi, everybody.
Stiff shirt.
He's not going to move for an hour.
It's Kevin Stiff Man Ryder.
Kurt,
this is the greatest show ever. How do you feel when you write it? Are you sad or are you happy?
This, kids, is the voice of pure panic. Listen to Kevin.
Hi, I'm Kevin Ryder from the world-famous K-Rock radio station here in Southern California, and we have had the joy of talking to Mr. Kurt Sutter about one of the best TV shows of all time, Sons of Anarchy.
All right. You got the gig.
Look,
relax a little bit, all right?
We rehearsed only that, and the director 4 times in a row said, you're talking too fast. You're talking too fast. You need
so
to
he
slow
gave
down.
You extra drugs
you
or something?
You need to slow.
Trank darted you?
Have the joy.
I did. Well, they had to put up some warning, like TVMA or whatever.
TVMA.
So he said, we need enough time to do that, so you have to slow down. And then I sounded like Trank Dart Kevin.
So when you, again, I'm still confused by this one thing. Right. So when you say we had the joy of talking to Kurt Sutter, he's right there in front of you, and you're getting ready to talk to him. You're talking now about a previous time that you
yes,
had
that he came on the radio show.
I think Kevin was referring to the Kevin and Bean Show
yes.
interviews. Yes, because he says the same thing about Theo.
Yes, he did. Yeah, that's coming up too. Now, let me just say this. Although we're mostly going to talk about Kevin, how about Kurt Sutter and the very kind words that he gave to K-Rock last night on the broadcast right at the start? This was so cool.
Thank you. What an amazing episode.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just want to say personally that Kevin is a morning DJ out here in Los Angeles, and I started listening to Kevin and Bean when I first moved to L.A., and I want to thank you not only for being here tonight, but for the past 7 seasons being a huge supporter of this show. So thank you.
I love this show so much, I don't know what to do, and I can't believe there's only 2 episodes left.
I know, right? I
can't believe it. We've also had the joy of talking to Theo Rossi, who is in New York on the satellite. Hi, Theo.
Theo. And then you got Theo. Kevin's just, he's multitasking like a crazy man right now, Ralph.
I just love this show so much, I don't know what to do.
I
might poop myself. Kurt Sutter. The greatest show ever, and I just don't know what to do about it.
Are you watching it? It's the most emotional show available.
I know you were very emotional last night about it.
And last night was like the triumph of 7 years of TV.
I thought you were going to kiss Jimmy Smits on the mouth.
I did too.
Yeah.
A lot of listeners were coming up with their own drinking games, by the way. And whoever was drinking every time Kevin used the word amazing is now dead. I was a little bit nervous. Tell me if I'm wrong to think that you are walking a tightrope here and you may or may not make it to the end of this question to Theo Rossi.
And another question for Theo, which is that you pretty much thought when you walked into the room with Jax that there's still hope. You can still get back maybe there's still a chance for you. What was that like to play?
He did save it at the end.
Really. Yeah, he came up with a question. That's, it was totally unconnected to what he was talking about.
That's trained Dark Kevin right there. No, I tell you the honest truth is that in my mind, when I'm nervous, I say another. I have a question for your Theo. Blank.
Yeah.
Nothing but white noise.
I can always tell because you go,
which
that
is
which when you
by the way,
were
that was
had the
that was the question that I had planned. It just took me a half hour to get to it.
How do you like having somebody talking in your earbud while you're trying to talk on TV?
It's not easy.
Communicate with your guests.
It's not easy because then the director was trying to calm me down because he could tell I was so nervous. So he would go, all right.
Easy, easy.
30 seconds to the break. But it would cut out.
He's a good boy. Yes, you are. You're a good boy.
But it would cut out Theo. So I would see Theo's mouth talking and I would go, I don't know what he's saying right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We already have time, unfortunately, for one more clip. By the way, Kevin has been invited back. We are going to see him on the TV again after Sons of Anarchy.
Oh, yeah,
weeks.
We are.
That's what
yeah.
they said last night. Uh-huh. Let's just
we already have time for one more. And Kevin's defense, Jimmy Smits is a brilliant actor, never more so than on Sons of Anarchy last night.
But I heard he's amazing.
He is amazing. I've heard that
amazing.
As well. He doesn't like necessarily answering questions about acting. He's more of a, I'm an actor. That's what I do. You can ask me all you want, but
it's
what I
hard.
Do is I show up and I act, right?
It's hard for those guys, a lot of people to answer questions about acting.
By the way, they told me this ahead of time. Nicest guy in the world, super shy, doesn't really know how to answer questions.
They don't know how to put their process into words a lot of the time.
And I felt bad because I wanted... you know, him to look good, and I felt like I sort of made him look bad because he sort of wasn't answering the question.
Not at all. You took the pressure completely off Jimmy Smits. Listen to how much time you burned on the clock with this question to the great Jimmy Smits.
You are the character on the show, and this sort of struck me over the last couple that you know you have a lot of questions. You're not exactly sure what's going on with Gemma. You're not exactly sure what's going on with Jax. You sort of wonder, but you're loyal to both.
Still talking.
And then it comes down to that scene between where you're with Gemma and Jax is on the phone and the camera's on your face for
about halfway done.
A minute and a half, it seems like. And all we see is your face. That was genius. What are you thinking? Are you listening to the phone? Is someone talking to you?
Someone's definitely talking
someone
to you.
Talking?
I didn't know because he's on the phone and he's listening to the moment of the series.
Yeah.
Which is...
fans are probably familiar with that.
Okay.
Now, just remind me of Chris Farley's talk show. Remember that time when you were on the phone and they were telling you what was going on and Gemma was there and then Jack said all those things to you and then you were... and your face, they showed your face and you were on the phone? That was awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for TV's Kevin Ryder. Anarchy Afterward host. Outstanding job there, Monkey.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. 9:48.
If that was Drea DiMatteo on the phone, I bet you wouldn't have just stamped all over her with commercials.
He wouldn't have said her last name either.
That's for sure. He didn't last night, but... I'm just saying, why do you hate Brooke Shields? Why do you,
I don't.
Why do you come down on an icon?
I
like
enjoyed
that?
Talking to Brooke Shields.
I did too. I thought it was wonderful.
But then when it got to the end, she said thank you or goodbye or something.
And we know you have no time for anything after that. You are Mr. Clean when it comes to just tightening up that get out. Not a second can be wasted. When someone says goodbye, they mean it for you. That is it. You're done with them.
Normally what happens is I turn down their volume.
No, usually you hang up on them. That's normally what you do. Then you've taken to turning down their volume.
All right, but let me just say this. Normally I turn them down and hang up on them.
Yes.
Okay. In this particular case, I didn't turn her down, but I did start the commercial while she was talking.
You certainly did
and
make
then
her
I
feel
left,
very unwelcome.
And then I left her up.
Yeah, you did.
Full volume for like 10 seconds.
So we could hear the desperation and sadness in her voice. Well, let's break it down. Let's do a little audio magic. We'll play it as it aired
Come
with
on.
The commercial trampling all over her words and feelings. And then
feel bad.
Then we'll strip away the commercial and we'll just listen to the poor, fragile voice of a woman who just feels used and tossed away by two chuckleheads on the morning radio show.
I felt bad.
Let's hear the first clip.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in
Ohio. Cerritos Town Square's 2-week Black Friday sale going on now.
Yeah.
She said thank you.
And then like a millisecond after. She's like, and I just, and then no, no time for you. No.
But I left her up so that she could conflict with the commercial right. so no one could hear either.
But at least she could hear the fact yes. that we were slapping her down with a Cerritos Auto Square commercial and yes. showing her how little she meant to us.
Yes, hey, I'm not a radio professional by any means, but let me ask this question, Kevin. What's the worst that could happen if you let it breathe for half a second?
Oh, Bean, you don't want to know. Apparently something. It's like
goodbye. Nice
like
to talk to you.
Candy
okay,
man.
Nice
Candy
to talk to you. Listen to you guys all the time. Oh, thanks a lot. We really appreciate it. And nobody wants to hear all of that. So,
but
we,
I mean,
keep it moving.
You know, they also don't want to hear Brooke Shields being murdered by a car commercial.
So, but what I guess what I'm asking is if there's a beat at the end of every phone call of all the people that we talk to on the show, if there's a beat before we go into the commercial, would that be so bad?
No.
Where's the downside?
By the way, I didn't feel as bad until Beer Mug went in the other room and isolated just her voice yeah. without the commercial.
Let's hear what she experienced. Let's see if we can tell how she's feeling when you just no. smother her with a commercial as she's trying to say nice things.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in L.A. I listen to you guys.
Oh, man.
I listen to you guys. She just dissolves into a puddle of tears. Can we hear that one more time?
No.
Can we do that again?
Come on. That was Mug's fault.
Follow Ms. Shields on Twitter, at Brooke Shields. Hey, thanks for the time. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, guys. I listen when I'm in L.A. I listen to you guys.
Listen.
Even though
Kevin!
I know you don't care.
Kevin!
She's worked so hard for so long in this business to be treated like that.
Sorry.
She's not on so Sins much. Of Anarchy. It doesn't matter what she does.
It Sins of Anarchy.
You yes. did call it Sins
that
of Anarchy.
That happened. I'm sorry for so much. I don't know where to go from there.
Today's celebrity birthday.
A blanket apology just for your life and career.
Talk show host Larry King is 81. Allison Janney celebrates her 55th birthday today. Matt Sorum. You know, from Guns N' Roses and Velvet Revolver, he's 54 years old. Jodie Foster turns 52. Jeremy McGrath, 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks, Ralph.
Thanks for letting me finish my statement there. I'm glad you didn't play a commercial on me. That was nice. I appreciate it.
You done?
Yeah.
All right. Good to talk to you. It was a great report.
I listen to you guys whenever.
All right. Glad to have you.
All right, he's done now. You can pick up with the next thing now.
Tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, we talk to Jim Rome as we
I
do on Thursdays.
I said a beat. I didn't say give it a minute.
Listen, I just need to make sure.
Okay.
Dr. Drew's on the show tomorrow. We have Bo Bachman in. We have Why Does the King of Mexico Hate Thanksgiving? We have Joe Rogan, a brand new internet roundup. And we've got tickets for the sold-out 25th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas tomorrow.